Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 9th, 1996.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest. Bid you all good evening and good morning, as the case may be, across this great expanse of land from the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains all the way east over this great, great land of ours to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north to the pole, Santa Country. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Well, okay, we've had the vice presidential debates, and I think Al Gore won. Clearly, Al Gore won. Jack Kemp had a bad day. Al Gore had a good day. Al Gore was prepared. Jack Kemp was many times hesitating, seemed unsure of himself. The question of Haiti, for example, I thought Jack Kemp did not answer that well. And Al Gore came back very well indeed. The first 45 minutes of the debate on tax policy, my guess would be a lot of you turned it off during that time. Only about 27% of the American people agree with the Dole tax policy. Dole campaign has been mishandled to the point of almost considering it a thrown election. I know that's a very serious charge, but it's what I feel. There is only one very serious area of Clinton weakness. Mr. Clinton is weak when it comes to the issues of honesty, integrity, character, personal things, but non-trivial. The Dole campaign had to find a way, either through Bob Dole or at least through Jack Kemp, to begin to enter this area of criticism, and had to begin to make it an issue. And they have, for whatever reason, decided to completely avoid the area. Now, I know that that then would be a sign of trying to take the high road, but the high road, when you're 21 points down, is not going to get you to your destination at all. It's going to have you as a footnote in the history books with regard to elections, and that's exactly where this campaign is headed. I've thought that for a long time, and I think it more than ever tonight. And I'm not exactly going to really make the charge of they're throwing the election, because that implies a conscious intent to do it, and I don't really feel that. But it certainly has been mishandled. So as far as I'm concerned, Al Gore won the debate. Jack Kemp lost it. Of all the people that should have been able to debate well, Jack Kemp is that person. He didn't. He had a very bad day. He seemed unsure of himself. I've seen Jack Kemp be incredibly effective. This was not one of his days. There is one more presidential debate, and we'll see what happens. But I do not have high hopes. Here's a fax. It's typical of what I received. Art, want to express my disappointment with the Kemp-Al face-off tonight. In all honesty, the Republican Party is dead for the next 4 years. As a Republican, I was more impressed with Al Gore, his general demeanor, his attention to Kemp as Kemp spoke, his articulation, his responding directly to those questions posed by Mr. Lehrer, where Kemp rambled on in redundancy. To the majority of Americans, we will live to see Clinton Gore, let's say, for another term. The only way for a Dole-Kemp presidency is a down-and-dirty fight nationally to expose Clinton's character, past and present. We have the ammunition. And a decision not to pursue this course of action is the death of Dole Kemp. For them to take the high road as they trail in double digits will be devastating to our party, as all losers are quickly forgotten and never forgiven. They must run the race with every intent to win at whatever the cost. Rudy in Phoenix, and I agree with you, of course, Rudy. So I'll just leave it at that. It is no different than I expected it to be. How about you? A federal judge has upheld a contempt citation, the one that put Susan McDougal in the pokey last month for refusing to testify about the president's role in the Whitewater saga. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals has rejected McDougal's complaint that her constitutional rights were violated when a district judge found her in contempt of court, sent her to jail about a month ago. The first U.S. troops are leaving Bosnia. However, there are 5,000 going in, and they are going to stay until springtime. I'm not sure of which year. It seems clear to me that we are going to stay now in Bosnia for some time to come. Now, it is another presidential promise violated, clearly. But again, for some unknown reason, and I'm very hesitant to charge throwing the election because I'm pretty sure that's not what's going on. But this Dole camp seems unwilling to go after the Clinton administration on any of the things that I've heard so many of you complain so bitterly about. Period. Period. So the effect is a lost election, if not a tossed election. Israel and the Palestinians are getting nowhere fast, and I think it's only a matter of time until it turns into a big conflict and maybe more. And I guess that's the news, the hard news. There's really not a whole hell of a lot more going on. It was the debate night, and I just told you the way I think the debates turned out. You may not feel that way. I've got a kind of a worrisome story here, and I'm going to read it to you. It concerns our old friend Madman Markham. I got a call the other day from a writer, Ovetta Sampson, for the St. Joseph News Press, and she was going to write one last story, I think, leaving that newspaper, and she was going to write one last story and wanted to write about Madman. So she asked me for a couple of comments. I gave them to her, and I also gave her Madman's contact number, and she went away and wrote her article. I got a copy of that article today, and I'm going to read it to you. Madman Markham is an affectionate name that I gave to Mike Markham, who thought he was building a time machine. I'll just read this to you as it is. The headline is T-minus 30 days and counting. Hopeful time traveler appears on talk radio to tout near success. Northwest Missouri's premier expert on time travel has garnered national attention from radio's king of the supernatural, talk show host Art Bell. Mike Markham, arrested last year for stealing electrical transformers to build a time machine, resurfaced recently, this time as a caller on the late-night talk show. 2 weeks ago, the 23-year-old Markham told Mr. Bell he was 30 days away from making the time machine work. Calling from Pahrump, Nevada, I returned a call. On Tuesday, Mr. Bell said that he had promised Madman, that's always in quotes, Madman Markham, he'd fly to St. Joseph to document the historic event. If he's going to do it, we're going to videotape it, the overnight host said, without a hint of laughter. That's right, I didn't laugh. I indeed told her I'd come videotape it. Apparently, Mr. Markham has gotten better at his electrical wizardry in the year since his arrest in Gentry County. Al Brown, now get this, folks. Al Brown, a landlord of the Time Wizard said, quote, he sent a cat a block away, end quote. Yikes! When did Madman do that? He sent a cat a block away, according to the landlord. But alas, in June, after Mr. Markham burned out the air conditioning unit in his midtown apartment and zapped the electricity out of the building, Mr. Brown said he did not renew his lease. Well, I had no idea Madman had reached the cat stage. Wonder where the cat... We sent it a block away. He moved the cat a block. Anyway, continuing, Mr. Markham, who is said to have built his own transformers and received materials from a major auto manufacturing company, has since disappeared. Friends say they haven't seen him in 2 weeks. Perhaps he was ahead of his 30-day schedule and didn't take the time to tell anyone. Oh, my. So apparently there was quite a bit I didn't know. You know, it was about that long ago, just about that long ago, that I talked to Madman last. And now I find out, and he didn't tell me any of this. Remember the last interview? He sent a cat a block away. Now, maybe he wouldn't tell me because he knows how I feel about cats. I guess the cat lived. But I had no idea he blew the air conditioning unit, at it again, zapped the electricity out of the building altogether, got booted out of where he was living, and has not been seen. So there may be some reason to worry about what he has done. You don't suppose he would have gone ahead? Well, you know, he must have. And the reason I say that is because, you may recall, Madman promised me his hand on the Time Traveler's Manual that he wouldn't go until he first told me, when he got to that stage. I had no idea he had begun transporting mammals in this thing. And I certainly had no idea that he managed to fling a cat one block. That's incredible. And now, I can't locate him. So, your guess at this point is as good as mine. And I'm afraid if I had to guess, my guess might be that Madman has gone and done it. And I wasn't there with a camera. So there you are. You may have comments on that. I'm shocked. A good day to you, sir. My name is Gunnar Smith, and I am located in the city of Reykjavik, Iceland. This is email. My mother, Kathy, told me a lot about your radio program, which she listens to every morning as she does her papers. I've tried quite frequently to call you on the phone, but haven't been able to get through yet. The international line. I got your email address yesterday, decided to mail you instead. My mom told me you were interested in the volcanic activity, which is taking place here in Iceland, and searching for somebody who's got some information about it. I'll give you the email version of what's going on. The eruption is taking place beneath, and he names the glacier that I could not possibly hope to pronounce, which is the biggest glacier in Europe. The thickness of the ice on top of the eruption is estimated to be 600 to 700 meters. That's a lot of ice, and it only took about 24 hours to melt through it. Right now it's mainly steam coming out of the hole through the ice, understandable, and a bit of ash, not too much yet. The ash fall, if great, could cause sickness in sheep. Their bones would grow more than normal. I don't have any details on that sickness other than that with the bones. Anyway, all the ice that melts becomes water. And, of course, the water has to go somewhere. Just south of the eruption, there are two other craters, volcanic, and they every now and then gather a lot of water. When the water level has risen enough, then the water flows from underneath the glacier, underneath it, and over vast areas of sand and goes to the sea not far from the roots of the glacier. Right now, the water from the eruption place has gone into these two craters, and they've gathered more water than ever before, and experts are stunned about the fact that a flood has not yet begun. 2 days ago, the amount of water that had gone into the craters was just about 1 cubic kilometer, and today I don't know what the amount is. So, the status is a short report. Eruption still going on beneath the glacier. Waters gathering rapidly, is expected to flood forward with enormous power, damage bridges and land. So we're going to keep an eye on that story of the erupting volcano beneath a glacier. Greetings, Mr. Bell. On CNN's website, there is a story under the Earth section about deformed frogs in the Midwest. Some have four hind legs. Some have stumps. Some have tails. They're having trouble finding an area with normal frogs. He signs more frog legs for all, Doug, in Lincoln, Nebraska. Four hind legs, some have stumps, some have tails, and they are having difficulty now finding any normal frogs. Now, I'm not an environmental expert, that's Al Gore. But aren't frogs an indicator species? You tell me. Does it bother you that people are having trouble finding normal frogs? You might want to take a look at the CNN webpage. I'd like to see a picture of one of those frogs. Maybe I wouldn't. Mother Nature continues to shake and shake and shake. We are in a really strange period of earthquakes, it would appear. We've got a 5.3 again off the coast of Vancouver Island, British Columbia, Canada. And a major earthquake, 6.8, which occurred near Cyprus and accounted for at least two dead last I heard. One in Egypt, and it may have been one on Cyprus or Israel, but it shook up the entire area. That is a 6.8 earthquake. That's a pretty serious earthquake. It was felt in Israel, Lebanon, Syria, Turkey, and Egypt. And maybe the maker decided that he was going to try to get these people back to the table to talk to each other and was sending them a sign. Certainly in the Middle East, they look for things like that. The tremor felt heavily in Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, the West Bank, and Egypt. So it shook everybody up over there. And who knows, maybe they will take it as a sign of unhappiness from above or below. And they will make something out of it. I have no idea. Anyway, some pretty heavy shaking going on out there. All right, what we're going to have tonight is going to be Pure D Open Lines. Love to have you call in. Love to have you discuss whatever you like. I am shocked by this article and by the apparent news on Madman. Where is he? And if he is no place where we can locate him, then, again I ask, where is he? Where do you think he might be by now? Yikes.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 9th, 1996.
Let me tell you a couple of things that I'm considering. As you know, I've got a debate here with Howard Phillips and Harry Brown. That should at least be lively and interesting. That'll occur. I'm sorry, I've got to tell you what I think, not what I wish, hope, or feel, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not a cheerleader. I'm here trying to give you my honest opinion. And it is that Al Gore clearly won. Not that it was all that great. It's that Jack Kemp wasn't. It's the direction the campaign has chosen, and it was boring. But if you had to pick a winner, Al Gore was clearly the winner. Al Gore on top of his game, articulate, as usual, boring. I don't watch Al Gore very much on the interview shows because he is so damn boring to listen to. I just don't listen to him. But the entire strategy of the Dole Kemp campaign is beyond me. And it's certainly beyond winning. So, there you are. That's my assessment. Not my wish, not my hope, just what I consider to be reality. Well, west of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Art.
Hi there.
Art, I called you one time and kind of dismissed me because I brought up that Louis Farrakhan claimed to have gone up in a spaceship.
No, he did claim that.
Oh, well, when
I'm well aware of that.
Well, when I called you a couple months ago, you just dismissed me.
No, I didn't. I was aware of it, and you were just simply stating the obvious. I know that he claimed that. I've watched the speeches, sir. I saw it when he said it.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
That's it? All right, that's it, I guess. I'm sorry. I noted that you were correct, and that was the end of the conversation. I mean, he did. He did indeed claim that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, thank you, Art. Let me turn off my radio.
Please do, yes. Get it off right away.
Art, have you the strength of character to accept a mild rebuke and then...
rebuke all you want, sir. Go right ahead.
All right. I was listening yesterday. You were very disappointed that only 20 Republicans voted on this anti-gun bill, voted against it.
Yes, that's correct.
At least the Democrats, who claim to have gun control as a principle, voted their principle.
That's correct.
Okay. But you never really made it clear that the Republicans, who claim that their principle is to preserve, protect, and defend the Second Amendment,
yes,
did not.
I thought I made it abundantly clear.
No, you were disappointed in them, but you never really said...
Sir, I said, specifically, when it gets to the point where a party, a political party, abandons its core ideology, which is what the Republicans did when they voted that way, then it's all over, and there is no difference between the parties in my estimation whatsoever. Now, how much more clear could that be?
All right, now let's go into the dialogue. Just now, offhandedly, you said something about Al Gore, and in quotes practically, the environmentalist. What should it have been? Dan Quayle, the environmentalist?
No, I simply noted a fact. Al Gore considers himself an environmentalist, a technocrat.
The fact that you have admitted, you've conceded, rather, the election, you still have not, I mean, you get in a dig against the Democrats every time.
I see where you're coming from now.
By the way,
I simply stated the obvious.
Let's stay with it again, because I won't call again for another month. Madman Markham sounds like some of those old Groff Conklin gigantic books of short science fiction tales, the Big Book or the Treasury.
Yeah, did you ever hear
very
him?
Well might have gone.
I know.
To the other side. And I'll close with this.
Did you ever hear Madman when I had him on
the
air?
Yes, I did. I had the whole show.
Can you believe this newspaper article? Wow.
Well, it's good publicity. Let me close with this.
I don't know about that.
I've said this before to you, one or two times. I'm on FTL, by the way, in South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jake.
WFTL. All right, Jake.
And it's been a pleasure for 3 months. But I'll say this. Not since, he used to have Alexander King on all the time as a guest. Not since the man who really took pleasure in in Peddling Water, and I can't remember who the man who originally opened the door to the occult. I mean, I heard Edgar Casey. I think it was on WOR, but
what,
I know.
What is it you're trying to say?
I'm just trying to say you're as good as there has ever been at night, especially in discussing offbeat subjects.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It's an area of intense interest for me, so I do it. God, what's happened to Madman? I found this article shocking. A cat. Oh, Madman. A cat. Gone an entire block. I hadn't heard anything about this. More electrical experiments got him tossed out. I hadn't heard about that. And now, a disappearance. I would say, all things considered, while something in the article might be wrong, she did the investigation, and as soon as I read the article, you know, I tried to get in touch with Madman, no luck. So, I don't know. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. This is Sharon in Tucson. Good morning to
you. Good morning,
you
Sharon. Yes.
I tuned in just as you were ending your conversation about the frogs.
Yes.
I moved here to Tucson almost 4 years ago from Omaha, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. There was an article in the paper there. Do you remember the bad floods the Midwest had, even when the Mississippi connected with the Missouri?
I do.
All right. It was about 6 months after those floods that they started finding all these deformed frogs. And professionals in the area had it figured that the floods washed all the chemicals and whatnot that the farmers were putting on all the crops in
the
mid-states.
That's possible.
And they figured that this is what was causing the deformity in all the frogs that were being found. They were finding two-headed frogs.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and this was something that was not normal. And this was their conclusion.
Well, that's awful. I appreciate your call. In other words, the pesticides and chemicals, and I suppose that is a reasonable opinion to hold, have caused these deformed frogs. I would hope that would be true as opposed to the alternative, which might be something larger and more ominous. Either way, it's not good. They say they're having a hard time finding normal frogs out there. Somehow that's not a good sign. I'm not a scientist, and I don't pretend to be one. But I don't think you have to be a scientist, nor a rocket scientist at that, to understand that two-headed frogs, four legs in the back, tails, stubs, these things are not good. Not good. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Good evening, Mr. Bell. This is Ben from Oregon.
Hi, Ben.
Say, Mr. Bell, would somebody kindly explain to the American people that the unions support Bill Clinton so that he will raise your taxes to pay them more money because they've driven all the big industry out of the country and the only suckers left are the American taxpayers?
Well, I'm not sure how a... Explain to me how a tax hike is going to be funneled to the American worker through the unions or not.
It's not the American workers, it's our civil servants out there. All our unions are civil servant unions. And
they are?
This is how your
the auto workers union?
No.
No.
You're forgetting that a lot of the union support now comes from
It does.
Civil servants.
It does because it does because they're the ones left. Now unions have been on the decline in the private sector.
Right.
And
but
so
the public sector is out there with their hand up, and that's why they're supporting Clinton.
I see.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes. But do you think that accounts for the 21-point difference?
Mm, Well, I don't know about that. And yeah. Could I make another point?
Sure.
Who fights wars for liberals? I mean, when we're done conditioning the American people to fear firearms and we go to war, you can't wave a magic wand and make every citizen that goes to defend his country proficient in the use of firearms. So I think this war on guns and conditioning the American people to fear weapons is very dangerous indeed.
Yeah, it is a war on guns. Where are you, by the way?
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, all right, thank you. War on guns. It is that, isn't it? I got a piece of email from somebody yesterday on the gun discussion. Maybe we'll get to that. Somebody who very much disagrees with me is anti-gun, and I thought I would read it. He starts out, I listen to your show often, and I have to say I'm very disappointed in the comments you made this morning about guns. Let me say I don't own a gun. Wife does not own a gun. Parents don't. Siblings don't. Basically, nobody in my family owns a gun. And we're doing just fine and have for generations. I don't imagine I'll ever have a problem driving by a school or raising my children without a gun. Second, your comment about preferring a death by gun over knife is absolutely ridiculous. It is obviously circumstantial. Wouldn't you prefer a cut jugular to a shot in the liver? Well, I don't know. As you said, dead is dead anyway. Don't you think your chances of survival are much greater with a typical knife wound as opposed to a gunshot wound? Why don't you talk to an emergency room doctor before you take another call from some myopic gun lover? Maybe you should talk to an urban cop. Guns indirectly incite violence. Now, there's an interesting line. Tell me that some punk is going to carjack me with a knife. Ooh, many have. Any clown can confidently step up with a gun, but it takes some serious confidence to confront somebody with a knife. Plus, I can defend myself against an attacker with a knife much better than an attacker with a gun. Well, that's certainly true. But you know what, sir? If somebody's coming at you with a knife, you ought to have a gun. Anyway, how many kids kill themselves or a friend with dad's knife? Well, that's true. Here in Little Pahrump, Nevada recently, it was a murder by baseball bat. Killed a kid with a baseball bat. You argue it is still easy for a criminal to get an illegal gun and that these laws only keep law-abiding citizens from obtaining weapons. Prove it. Give me some evidence that it is as easy to obtain a handgun illegally in Canada as it is in the U.S. You can't. Well, I asked a man last night, you'll recall, from Vancouver, whether if he wanted a gun, could he pick a spot in Vancouver, B.C., and go to a side street somewhere and buy a gun without problem? Caller said, yes, absolutely. How many people are killed in Canada with handguns? In England, do you know? I don't have the figures in front of me, but I do know it is a small fraction of the number in the U.S. This argument is a rationalization and is not based in fact. And I find it hard to believe that you really believe it. Of course, bad people will do bad things. But do you really think the country would be worse off with fewer guns floating around? What are you afraid of? Your other argument is that people will still be murdered without guns. Not only is this a defeatist attitude, but it is the same as saying people will still die without pollution. So we might as well allow companies to destroy the ozone layer if it means better products or faster cars. Thousands of people die in car accidents every year, so what's the point of all those stop signs? Ludicrous. You say, where does it stop? Should the government take away knives? But I say, where does it stop? Do we start selling grenades next? To which I would respond, no. I'm not in favor of selling grenades. Do we need rocket launchers, flamethrowers? Don't dismiss this. Tell me why it stops at guns. What is so special about that level of violence? Art, do you really believe what you are saying? Are things that bad in your reality that you need a gun? If so, I would suggest that you remove yourself from your current situation, because I can tell you from experience, a person can live happily and comfortably without one. I believe that people could live happily together without any guns. In closing, I think it is inconsistent for you to fear the demise of mankind, the quickening, while simultaneously promoting it by creating a state of alarm in your audience and implying that they arm themselves. It is also irresponsible. These are serious issues that you need to recognize. Your current viewpoint is not objective nor logical. Step back. Signed, Jared. Well, Jared, I do utterly and completely disagree with you on every single point. And with regard to my needing a gun, Jared, that is my constitutional right. It is my choice, and it is my belief that I would defend myself with equal force to those who might attempt to harm me. Jared, I'm 51 years old now. I've owned guns all of my life, since I think I was about 12 or 13. I've been a gun owner. And not once, Jared, have I gone rampaging through my neighborhood, my local school zone, my friends, my family. Not once have I threatened anybody with a gun. Not once in a moment of madness have I held my gun contemplating doing some random violence. And I have it for my own protection, Jared, and would not hesitate to use it. And with regard to a knife or, you know, was it silly? I don't think so. People are killed with knives all the time. And a knife wound is a horrible thing. And a knife is just my own personal thing. And I was just sort of commenting, given the choice between being killed by a knife and a gun, I'll take gun any day. I'd just soon not have a bullet to the liver, put one in the head. You know, if you're going to go quickly, not slow, not a slow, agonizing death. But, you know, that's just my own personal choice, Jared. I have a particular fear and loathing for knives and sharp instruments and scalpels and cutting devices and that sort of thing. So that's my own personal feeling. However, Jared, if somebody is going to come at me with a knife, I'd just soon have a gun. You know what I mean. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, yes. Art.
Yes.
I was wondering, I've heard some rumors of a... an incident in Las Vegas. I don't know if it's an urban legend or not. I thought you'd be the person to ask.
Can I take a guess?
Okay, what might it be?
Man goes to hotel. Man takes woman up to the hotel with him. Gets into the room. Man suddenly is unconscious. Man wakes up in the morning with a missing organ.
Right, right. Is this for real?
Urban legend.
It is.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm in the medical field, and I'm thinking... okay, the possibilities of them taking, harvesting an organ
mm-hmm.
from a person.
Yes.
We were sitting around talking about it the other night, saying, well, they didn't kill him. Why don't they just take both and the heart and some other things? And I said, well, because then you'd have a murder charge.
That's true.
It's petty theft if you just take a kidney and leave him in a bathtub full of ice.
Yeah, so as the legend goes, he wakes up in a bathtub full of ice with a badly sutured center and looks down and goes, oh, no.
Or a note. What I heard was there was a note saying, call 911.
Yeah.
And there's a telephone right there. He calls 911. Yeah. And the 911 operator says, check to see if you have a bandage. He's got one in your kidney.
I've got to go, sir. Urban legend.
So, thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Have a good morning.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Lips sweet surprise. Premier Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 9th, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. From the Tahitian and Hawaiian Islands to the Caribbean, into South America, north to the poles, worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM.
And by the way, if you're out there somewhere else in the world, we've got a toll-free line for you. And the way you get to us from anywhere, Iceland, I'm kind of hoping we'll get a call from Iceland this morning. The way you get to us is call up the AT&T operator. Get the AT&T operator on the line, no matter what country you're in. Or get the AT&T USA direct number for America. And then call 800-893-0903. If you're listening on the internet way out there somewhere, it's toll free. Won't cost you a penny. You can do it through the operator or with the USA direct a code for your country. And again, the number is 800-893-0903. Well, look, 13 years ago when I began doing this program, which then was called West Coast AM and is now called Coast to Coast AM and actually ought to be called something else because it goes beyond, I decided that I would say exactly what I wanted to say, that I would not be burdened, despite what I personally believe or my own ideology is, by trying to be some sort of cheerleader, some sort of guru politically for what I did not believe. And I'm not going to do that, and so I will tell you tonight, I watched the debate, vice presidential debate, and clearly Al Gore won. Al Gore won. Al Gore was more on top of it. Al Gore is not one of my favorite people in all the world, and when he's interviewed on the weekend shows, I just don't even bother to watch, because it's boring. But Al Gore won the debate. Jack Kemp, to lose the debate, had to have a very bad day, and he did, on several subjects. The lead for the Clinton administration is about 21 points, as we speak this morning. There are some surveys that show him with less of a lead, none of them showing the race anywhere near close. And I think the real lead is probably around 15 points or so. But if that should hold through Election Day, it's going to be a total drubbing. The American people are probably not going to make a lot of changes in Congress and the Senate. I don't think they are, anyway. There could be a big coattail effect that we don't know about, but right now it kind of looks like the American people are going to return Congress pretty much the way it is. Small change, perhaps, not a lot, is what I think. With reference to the presidential race, I think Bob Dole is done. You might as well stick a fork in him. He's done. He's not going to win. We're going to get another 4 years of the Clinton administration. And in a lot of ways, he may deserve it. He may deserve it. He has not been that bad a president. There are things about President Clinton that I'm not wild about, and they mostly have to do with his character. They have to do with the fact that this is a man that can be anything to anybody and does constantly. He can, he's like a chameleon. He can immediately change his stripes. He's very good at what he does. And his weakness, if he has one, is in the area of honesty, frankness, character, belief in some sort of core ideology. These are areas where he is weak, and these are areas where Dole and now the vice presidential candidate as well have chosen not to take aim. It's a done deal, folks. It's over, as far as I'm concerned. So there you have my take on that. I'm sure a lot of you don't like it, but that's what I feel, and that's what I think, and so I'm telling you the truth. Hello, Art. I listened to the debate on the radio tonight, and I agree with you that if a winner must be declared, the winner was Gore. Kemp was not up to his usual self, and Gore better than usual. About Madman, I've got to tell you about that. If his experiments have been anywhere near successful, you can bet the government has him sequestered away, probably right next to you there in Area 51. There's reason to worry about Madman this morning. I got a call the other day from the St. Joseph News Press, a reporter, St. Joe, Missouri. And she was leaving and the newspaper and wanted to write one final story and wanted it to be about Madman. So I gave her Madman's contact number and told her, she asked me some about the story, and I told her about it, and she went away and investigated and wrote the following article
that was faxed to me by Ken in St. Joseph, Missouri. Thank you, Ken. The article is entitled T-minus 30 Days and Counting. Hopeful time traveler appears on talk radio to tout near success. Northwest Missouri's premier expert on time travel has garnered national attention from radio's King of the Supernatural, talk show host Art Bell. Mike Markham, arrested last year for stealing electrical transformers to build a time machine, resurfaced recently, this time as a caller, actually a guest, on a late-night talk show. 2 weeks ago, the 23-year-old Markham told Mr. Bell he was, quote, 30 days away, end quote, from making the time machine work. Calling from Pahrump, Nevada, I returned a call to her. On Tuesday, Mr. Bell said that he had promised Madman Markham he would fly to St. Joseph to document his historic event. Well, we know all that, but here's where it gets weird. The overnight host said, quote, if he's going to do it, we're going to videotape it, end quote. He said this without a hint of laughter. Apparently, Mr. Markham has gotten better at his electrical wizardry in the year since his arrest in Gentry County. Quote, now listen, he sent a cat a block away, end quote, said Al Brown, a landlord of the Time Wizard. But alas, in June, after Mr. Markham burned out the air conditioning unit in his midtown apartment and zapped the electricity out of the building, Mr. Brown, quote, did not renew his lease, end quote. Mr. Markham, who's said to have built his own transformers and has received materials from a major auto manufacturing company, has since disappeared. Friends say they haven't seen him in 2 weeks. Perhaps he was ahead of his 30-day schedule and did not take the time to tell anyone. And I am crushed that he would not tell me, that he would go ahead like this. He sent a cat a block away? Well, if he was that far advanced in his biological experiments, well, I'm just sad that he wouldn't have chosen to contact me as he said he would. Art, suggest you contact Ed Dames right away. Have him use the have him use Madman as a target right away for students. Got to find him. Or Art, if you're trying to find Madman, the proper question is not where is he? It would be when is he? That's from Orem, Utah. And there is a big story breaking. I got, now I've got more on it here, and I'm going to read you this as I've got it, all right? This is the Associated Press that I've got in my hot little palm. I got a fax from a listener who said, you better go to the CNN website and take a look at the deformed frogs. Well, a lady called a little while ago and said, Art, you know, when they had all the Midwest flooding, the theory is that frogs somehow are the recipient of all of the spray and the chemicals that the farmers, you know, had on their farmland flowed into the water and have affected the frogs. Well, I'm sorry to say that one isn't, that dog does not won't hunt. Listen to this. Henderson, Minnesota. Bruce Nelson was catching frogs. This is Minnesota, folks. Was catching frogs for catfish bait last year when he realized something was horribly wrong. Some of the frogs had stumps for legs, and others had as many as four tangled hind legs. You see deformed things all the time in nature, but never, said Nelson, never anything like this. All across Minnesota, into neighboring Wisconsin, South Dakota, even as far away as Quebec in Canada, Vermont, the East Coast folks, scientists and locals, I'm still reading from AP, are seeing the same kind of grotesquely misshapen limbs, along with frogs with tails, missing or shrunken eyes, and smaller sex organs. In fact, scientists have had a hard time finding wetlands in Minnesota with no deformed frogs. Judy Helgen, a researcher with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, said, quote, it scares me. I'm at different levels of getting a chill down my spine.
So, I guess you would have to conclude that it's not the farmer's stuff that ran into the water, not with this kind of geographic spread. So there you've got it. I thought I would pass it along to you for what it is worth. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. I didn't hear what you were saying earlier about knives and stuff.
Yes.
Just the end of it. What were you...
I really can't go all over it again, sir. I read a whole a two-page email from a fellow disappointed with my stand on guns, basically taking me to task for wishing to own a gun or owning a gun. And he said the world doesn't need guns. Blah, blah, blah. I can't go back over it. It was just the gun-knife argument.
Okay. Well, I'm a proponent of both guns and knives. I don't see why we should have that made illegal. I think the Second Amendment was perfectly clear on that.
Well, my answer to him was, you know, if somebody comes after me with a knife,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather have a gun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
and then he took me to task for... making a comment that given a choice to die by knife or die by gun, I'll take gun any day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Something I don't understand that's in the law now is you can have a gun, but you can't, you know, walk around with, say, a sword strapped to your side. I mean, you know, who would hold up a convenience store with a sword?
Zorro. You'd be the only one. All right, thank you. Zorro. Well, you know, walking around with a sword would probably get you in trouble. I've got one, too. I've got a sword. It's a really cool sword, actually. Full-size sword. I don't have a sheath for it. But can you imagine walking around with a sword? Now, you'd get serious attention right away. Walking into a 7-Eleven with a sword? A guard! The candy bars are your life. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
This is Ken in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yes, sir.
I think it's maybe time to scare the voters and wake them up. I'm serious.
How would you propose to do that?
Well, it's my belief, and I've heard other people voice the same opinion, that if Mr. Clinton gets back in,
yes.
We as gun owners are done for.
Well, you know what? I'm beginning to believe that we as gun owners, sir, are done for. Whether or not he gets back in, and that's the saddest part of all. I mean, if you look at the voting on the recent horrific gun legislation, the Republicans were right there, sir.
Well, I'll tell you something. I found out something. One of my local congressional representative, he voted for this, but they were told that some of these items were to be taken out of there.
Mm.
And they were assured that they would be.
By who?
And, well, by...
my understanding
in
is...
In their committee meeting.
My understanding is Newt Gingrich took them into a nice, well, probably not smoke-filled room anymore, whatever filled room, and told them they will vote for it.
Well, you know, I wouldn't doubt that. I would not doubt that at all.
Well, so I'm not sure it matters which administration is in. The anti-gun movement, war, if you want, is on.
Yes, it is. And one of these days it's going to blow up in somebody's face.
Well, that certainly may be. As the squeeze continues, it's like trying to squeeze more and more water through a thin pipe. Eventually, something is going to burst. I don't doubt that for a second. What I have come to believe, and it is cynical, I know, but it is that both parties now are pretty much in cahoots to get the same thing done. So I don't know that you scare anybody by saying, oh, my God, 4 more years, Bill Clinton, all our guns will be gone. I suspect either way, frankly, no matter what happens, the move against guns will continue. You might try an argument suggesting that the pace of one party will be greater than of the other, but I'm not even sure about that. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Mr. Bell.
Yes, sir.
Pleasure to be with you. I had some statistics I wanted to share. I wanted to, on the gun argument.
Okay, share them.
It's what you were talking about earlier, the statistics in some foreign countries. Japan sees about 35 gun-related murders a year.
Mm-hmm.
Great Britain is 8.
Mm-hmm.
Canada 6. Sweden 7. And Australia is 4.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not the whole story. Now, I understand that there are fewer gun murders, but then you've got to look at the per capita difference, not just in guns, but in murders, period. And they manage to do themselves in other ways. Now, what about those stats? Do you happen to have those handy?
Well, I think that's true, but you have to compare that with, what is it, 30,000 in the United States?
Yeah, but again, you're talking only about gun crime. You're not talking about crime, period. Armed robberies, people who are slashed with knives, beat over the head with baseball bats, whatever, the weapon of choice. And then you've got to compare it per capita because these countries have a smaller population. So before you can resonate that argument with me, you're going to have to get the rest of the numbers.
Well, that sounds fair enough. Can I share one other statistic with you here?
Sure.
That I think about when I'm thinking about the gun argument.
Yes.
And this one comes from the New England Journal of Medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, they say that for each intruder into your home who is killed by a gun, there are 43 people, i.e. gun-owning citizens, law-abiding citizens, who are killed by intruders only because they had a gun, because they went for it, tried to defend themselves, and were then, because of that, shot by that intruder.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I appreciate that. I was aware of those stats. This is just a question I'm going to drop on you, and I want your answer. If you went to bed tonight, and you woke up, let's say, at about 5 o'clock in the morning to get ready for work, this is a what-if. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, and so you hit the shower, grabbed a cup of coffee, sat there in a semi-daze, as you normally do. I do anyway, for a while, before I begin to come awake, kind of daze. And you look outside, and it's now 5:30, quarter to 6, and it should be, kind of gray out there. The first rays of the sun should be coming in. Or actually not coming in, but certainly lightening the sky. And then you don't think much about it, but it's kind of dark. You think, well, it's probably a cloudy day. You don't note it. You go outside a little later, get in your car and head to work, and you notice it's totally dark. At this point, you begin to say, huh? What's going on? 7, 8 o'clock in the morning come, still it's totally dark. In other words, folks, the sun does not come up. What would you think? What would you conclude if that occurred? The day the sun didn't come up. What would you conclude about that?
You don't have to answer.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
As you drove to work on that fateful morning, when the sun had not come up and it was dead dark out, not cloudy, not misty or foggy, just dead dark. What would you conclude? Now, I'm not asking this because I know something necessarily. I'm just asking because I'm curious what you would conclude. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello there. Turn your radio off, please.
I'm sorry. All good for me, lady.
All right. How's L.A. this morning?
Just fine. I sprained my ankle.
Well, you're not fine, then.
Right.
How'd you do that?
I fell over the telephone wire.
Damn telephones. See, you need a cordless phone.
Right.
You'd be up and walking around right now. So what's on your mind?
Well, I heard the debate with Al Gore and Kemp.
Yeah.
And I thought Gore came out pretty I mean, yeah, Al Gore came out pretty good.
Yeah, he won.
Yeah, that's what I hear. And like you said, sometimes he's very boring.
Yeah, but he was on his game. Al Gore was on his game last night, and Jack Kemp wasn't. It was poor timing. The campaign is doomed. They're not going after the Clinton administration on the one area of weakness they have, and so it's doomed. It's over.
Yeah, I think that ball game is really over.
Mm-hmm.
And
fat lady singing.
I'm really not very passionate about Clinton either. You know, and Dole, forget it. I mean, that's a real bummer trip, but the best, you know, I really like best is Harry Brown.
Harry Brown. I like Harry, too.
I really like Harry. I mean, I really like to go for him.
My problem is I've got a few critical areas of disagreement with Harry, and I don't need to go back over them again. You know, drugs.
I know what they are,
sort of
because
thing.
I think I agree with the same thing.
So I'm out
like
the cold.
Like the drugs and the guns.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't even know who I'm going to vote for. I, you know,
I'm
cast out now like the sun didn't come up. Hey, if the sun didn't come up in the morning, what would you think?
Oh, I would be the most miserable person on earth. I love the sun.
I know, but what I'm asking is, what would you think had happened?
Well, I would have thought that the world is going to end now.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there you go. That's what I wanted. Thank you. There's the first rendering from L.A. that the world was going to end, or was in the process of ending. Of course, everybody would turn on the radio, and I guess at that time of the morning I wouldn't be here. Well, East Coast I might. And I'd be saying, well, folks, the sun has not come up. At this hour, we don't know why. We don't know what has happened. We're checking with the other side of the world to see if they have any sun. And I'd be trying to take international calls from the other side of the world. I suppose they would certainly report no sun either. I don't know where that would leave us. I'm just kind of wondering, you know, what people would conclude if it occurred. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Radio Free America.
Well, hello there.
Well, Benny,
I've got a request of you.
Mm.
If you have criticisms of me, I don't mind at all. But I would rather that you bring them to me than airing them on other talk shows.
All right.
I listen to other talk shows, and
I
hear you, and you know I do.
Sure.
And I consider that kind of, frankly, a cheap shot.
You've taken your cheap shots, too.
But I take them to your face.
No, you don't.
Yes,
you
I do.
Let me go off, and then you take them for another
You want to come after me, brother? Come after me. Don't come on here and give me kissy face when you're on here, and then go on some other talk show on another radio station somewhere.
I don't kiss
and,
your face.
Well,
or
yes, you do.
Else.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You don't say anything like you said on that other talk show about me to my face. So do you get my
do you get
my request?
Quite frankly, you've taken a number of shots throughout the years at me, Art. You know, when we've gotten off our conversation.
The only time I talk about you is when you're here, or maybe immediately after a call. But it's with your presence, and I'm only asking you give me the same courtesy.
Deal. Benedict Gingrich sold us out again. We should have known this was going to happen after the assault weapon ban, Art.
I did know it was going to happen, sir.
I mean,
I've been saying it right along.
This is ridiculous. You know, he's the one to blame for that bill, and these people are getting serious. You well know that. And this one-party scam, if they're working in unison, and, you know, the guns are exactly
Excuse
like
me,
you
is
said.
There, is there an echo in here? These are the things I said for the last hour and a half and said last night, and I've been saying right along. And you've been singing the differences, not me. I'm the one who's seen the parallels right along.
Well, I saw what Dole would do. He's intentionally blowing the election.
Oh.
I mean, come
now,
on,
now, now, again, I'm hearing echoes.
Well, you hadn't said he's doing it intentional.
I said one could make that accusation.
Well, I'm saying he is. I mean, he's got more ammo to go after Clinton on, and he's not using any of his artillery. I mean, my God. I mean, at least Pat would have gone after him.
Pat wasn't nominated.
I know. You know, this is you've got the top echelon of the Republican Party in bed with the Democratic Party, yeah. And we are going to get filleted.
Well, I'm sorry to have to repeat this, but I've been saying that right along, sir. Right along.
Are you going to vote Libertarian or what?
I'll be damned if I know. I'm right now, politically, I'm out in the cold, adrift. And I frankly have been that way for quite a while, and if you've listened to me, you know that's true. So I've seen what's coming. I knew how it was going to end up, and I've been getting fried by people like you for a long time, and now you're on here singing the same song that I've been singing. So
well, I'll keep true to my word.
All right. Deal. Bye. Let's see. You see, I don't just do a talk show. I'm a talk show listener. I listen to talk shows. Lots of talk shows. And there are some fairly frequent callers like this caller. And I don't frankly mind being slammed. And to fill you in, he called me a big sellout. That's what he did, went on another station, said a sellout like Ding Dong, or I forget how he referred to me. Tinkerbell, I think. Something like that. That I'm a sellout because I come on here and tell you what I really believe, as opposed to being some sort of cheerleader. And, you know, it's free country, and I'm a public person, and he's welcome to take a shot at me. It's just that I just didn't have him do it face-to-face. So that was what that was all about. I listen to talk radio, too. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Pablo in Santa Rosa, California.
Yes, sir.
It was 100 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, I know. It's really hot out west. We got a big high-pressure system.
Yeah,
and the jet stream is coming down in the middle of the country and curling its way east.
Yeah, it's helping the crop out here, the wine crop.
Mm-hmm.
I want to commend you for telling the Radio Free American guy. I think you caught him off guard on that a little bit.
Well,
I disagree with him because when he calls, I don't. Well, he's always on one candidate, and then he's so anti-Clinton, and I don't think he has an open mind about Clinton, which, unfortunately, I voted for Clinton, but I just didn't like him and Bush.
Well, all right. Now, he'll accuse me of saying this, but since we're on the subject, his closed mind on Clinton blinded him to what was going on in his own beloved party, and I'll just leave it at that.
Well, think about Pat Buchanan and, like, Jesse Jackson and guys like that. Jerry Brown, those guys, I mean, they're smart as anything, but they just don't know. Like Clinton, with the debate the other day, he was cool, he was calm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just knows when to say, when to shut up, and not when to talk, you know, crazy. The other night in the debates when Dole said, well, I'm not going to mention anything about Whitewater, I thought that was kind of a cheap shot. Well, if you're going to bring that up, you might as well go after him, because, you know, it just... And then the next day, yesterday, he calls him a bozo, and he said he wasn't going to do his name calling. I just don't, you know. The guy is just, I don't know. Dole is, you know, he's 2 weeks to the election, and he should watch every single word he says.
It's done, sir.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks, Art.
I appreciate your call. Have a good morning. Thank you. My conclusion, and I began to conclude this a long time ago, is that the country is going to make it through 4 more years of Bill Clinton. It's going to make it through it. It's not going to be a tragic going-off-the-cliff kind of deal. Mr. Clinton, no doubt, will begin to do some of the things in the final 4 years that he wanted to do in the first. But assuming the American people go for a check in the check-and-balance system and generally return Congress intact, and I think they are going to, it's going to move along okay in the next 4 years. It's not going to be the end of the world. The sun will indeed come up, probably. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes,
sir.
How are you? I'm fine.
How's Comet?
Comet is getting better all the time. Comet came up on the couch next to me.
Yeah.
Last night now. And let me, brush him with a brush for about 10 minutes. Just sat there loving it. So
on the belly too?
Well, he rolls over and sort of gives me his belly, but not, he hasn't gone over on his back yet and spread all fours and said, go ahead, get the belly. you know, but we're getting close.
Oh, he is gorgeous. I subscribe to your newsletter. My name is Claude. I'm calling from Lost Wages.
From Las Vegas?
Yes.
Yes, yes, Claude. Well, I took that. That's a very recent photograph of Comet, and when we first got him, he was utterly emaciated, of course.
Right.
But we put a lot of weight on that little guy.
Well, his head looks so small in proportion to his body.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Two things I wanted to tell you. First, around 3 years ago, I purchased the 900 radio. Not radio, what am I saying? Telephone, I'm nervous.
Oh, the Trope, yes.
Right, and I subsequently replaced it with what I believe is a 960, not a 950, a 960.
Well, there's a 909.
No, this is, I guess maybe I misread it, I'm nearsighted, but the only thing, I love everything about it. The only thing I found out, we had a power failure in Las Vegas around 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And I picked up that phone, the light's blinking, and it totally did. I realized it's a perfect phone, but in a power failure, I had to go into the room and grab the plain old $29.95.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that is true of any portable phone, sir. They...
Uh-huh.
You know, a power failure, obviously, they have no electricity to transmit with,
uh-huh.
and so they go away.
That's it. Now, belated happy birthday to Ramona.
Thank you.
And here is the main reason I called you. Around 3 weeks ago, I was watching C-SPAN, and this is in reference to political correctness. There was Jamal Harrison talking to Brian. And Jamal is the vice president of the NAACP.
Yes.
We all know what that stands for.
Yes.
Okay. And he said, I don't know whether you call it an oxymoron or whatever, he said, do you realize that in Angola, Africa, there are 22 million African Americans starving to death?
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, my. All right. Thank you very much. Well, that must have been obviously a big slip of the tongue. African Americans. Angolans. I didn't hear that, and I wonder if it really came out that way. I'm sure he mentally whipped himself after he said that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Well, good, Art. I wanted to talk to you about the frogs.
Okay.
This is Scott in Spanaway.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I saw it on CNN. They showed some of the frogs.
Pretty ugly, huh?
Yeah, but the one thing that about six months ago, they were talking about the ozone layer and the ultraviolet ray getting in and killing the frog eggs.
The latest on the ozone layer, sir?
Yeah.
Is that it is record-sized, the ozone hole, rather. It's about twice the size of Europe.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that the ozone is what's doing this to the frogs, but I think there's a good possibility.
Oh.
And when you start understanding that these deformed frogs are from Vermont to Montreal in Canada, to Wisconsin, South Dakota, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they're all over the place. Something is very seriously wrong.
Well, definitely, and that's what they were talking about. And another thing, I live in kind of a brushy area, and every year when I mow my lawn, I always run into, like, hundreds of gardener snakes.
Oh, yes.
This year, I had absolutely none.
No gardener snakes.
You probably got tons of snakes out there, but...
No, not tons. Occasionally, and when we do get them, they're real wallopers, believe me. I had one crawl across my front desert area, I don't say yard, desert area that was a monster here about a year ago, but we don't get a lot of them.
So anyway, I still say it's pollution probably and the violet rays, harmful violet rays that are getting in and changing the eggs.
You know what I wonder? How long is it from the frogs to the people?
Well, that's what they were talking about.
Right.
You know, on CNN.
What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, like you say, the quickening. I mean, it's here, as far as I'm concerned. And if the sun didn't come up,
Yes.
I would load up my truck and my little trailer, and I'd head up into the woods because I wouldn't deal with being in the city if the sun never came up.
You know, you make an awfully good point. So no matter what the cause would be, your inclination would be to get out of Dodge.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's well thought out, sir, and I appreciate it, because in the city, it would be awful, wouldn't it? Now, I don't expect that to occur, and as I said, I'm not asking this question because I have some knowledge that one of these days she's not going to come around the horn anymore. I don't. I just kind of wonder what you would conclude in your own mind as you sat there or sat in your car on the way to work or whatever it was you did. What would be your initial conclusion? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Yes, I'm calling about that dream that you talked about when you were in
Cuba,
and you said you knew things that you didn't know how you knew them because you were never in Cuba. And
well, I saw details of the prison that I was in and of the Cuban police and the military and all these. And I've never been to Cuba.
Yeah, but do you think that was a dream of a past life, and do you think you will go to Cuba soon to investigate that?
I'd rather not.
It would be fun, though, to discover that that's a past life dream.
Well, maybe we define fun differently. If I were to go to Cuba and I saw or I began to see the things that I really graphically saw in my dream, frankly, I don't think I'd like it.
Well, you know, what I have some friends doing about this, using lucid dreams to remember past
lives.
Those are dreams in which people know they are dreaming when they are dreaming. And the way this works is I suggest to people that if he falls asleep listening to the radio and hears the radio in his sleep, then he should pick a commercial that he hears sometimes and practice thinking every time he hears that commercial. He will wonder if he's dreaming, and then he can do dream experiments. He can have lucid dreams, and some people report, and I as well, remembering past lives doing this.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's fun, Art. Some of your listeners might be doing it now, hearing me in their sleep and not know it.
Well, why don't you slip them some little subliminal suggestion right now?
Yeah. Well, you know, Art, the way they can test this, and I'm not talking about the tips of their thumbs, but the fingerprint part of their thumbs. If they put the fingerprint part of their thumbs over their ear canals and still hear me, then they know they're dreaming because they know they're not really awake, really physically blocking the ear canals.
I think you're messing with them, sir. Where are you?
Boston, Massachusetts.
You're in Boston.
Oh,
yeah. You know, I was going to suggest you were from Boston, wondering where you are. Glad you're hearing us. What station are you listening to in Boston?
WHAM from Rochester, New York.
Good old WHAM. Boy, big signal, no doubt about it.
And I hope your listeners try the dream, lucid dream, remembering past lives and call and tell about it.
All right, listen, sir, we got a station coming soon that's going to cover Boston there like a blanket.
Great.
I can't tell you what it is, but it's coming and coming soon.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
See you later.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 9th. 1996.
Top of the morning. Open lines, folks. I got a call earlier in the day from U.S. astronaut Edgar Mitchell. He's an astronaut who walked on the moon. Said he'd like to come back on the program. Has some interesting information for us. So I'm tentatively going to get in contact with him and schedule him soon, depending on news events. There is also a lady in Hollywood. Hollywood, if she could. And this lady says, you know, you're doing ghosts in October. And I always do ghosts in October. And there is no place like Hollywood for ghosts. Bet you didn't know that. And I didn't. So I may schedule her in as well, soon. Those are a couple things that I'm kind of working on. Otherwise, Al Gore won the debate, clearly, last night. Won the debate. Was no contest. I watched all 2 hours. listen to the analysis of those who know and would tell us what to think following every event of this sort. And they said roughly the same thing, and it was clear. Al Gore won. Jack Kemp seemed unprepared, uninspired, to a number of questions, did not have adequate answers. On Haiti, he fumbled all about. He lost. Gore won. It's that simple. The Dole campaign is not going anywhere fast. The Dole campaign is done. Bob Dole is done. Stick a fork in him. The only thing he could have done that he hasn't done, that he says he will do in the next debate, and that remains to be seen. It really should have been done last night by Jack Kemp. If it was going to be done, it should have been begun at that point. They should have gone after Clinton's only weak area, and that, of course, is his character, his integrity, his honesty, his chameleon-like ability. He certainly could have gone after him in those areas, but Jack Kemp didn't. Usually a vice president or a vice presidential wannabe is the lightning rod. So without seeing Mr. Kemp do it last night, my presumption is there's going to be no real effort in the next presidential debate. And the point difference now is about 21. It's a done deal. It's all over. That's what I conclude. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey.
Hello. Turn your radio off, please.
Okay, it's off.
That's good. Where are you?
Houston, Texas.
Houston, all right.
Hey, listen, I got a question. Did we fund, how much did spending, did Perot get $50 million to do his, to run for president?
No. Not $50 million, no.
I mean, did he get what all the other two guys got?
Well, he got matching funds.
Well, then we should have at least heard him then, I guess.
See, he was not allowed to use his own money this time.
Yeah, I understand that, but then we should have at least heard him in the debate if we're going to spend all this money.
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it. So you would like the criterion for inclusion in the debates to be U.S. tax dollars spent?
Well, why not? I mean, hey, you know, if we're going to spend this much money and let the guy run.
I'll say this much, sir. Had we had Perot, or maybe Harry Brown or Howard Phillips in the debates, at least we would have had...
A debate?
Yeah. That's right.
You know, I don't know. There's so much in America today going on. I think we'll survive, as you said.
Yeah.
I think the Congress, if we can have a Republican Congress for the next 40 years and every other year get a Republican in as a president, I think we'll do real well.
Well, having said all that, if the sun didn't come up tomorrow morning, what would you conclude?
I would think something was drastically wrong. I would think somebody probably put a great big shield up somehow. They did some mirrors or something and
cut our sun off.
Just cut our sun off, and I would be seriously
worried.
Looking for a rocket to get some sun.
All right, sir, a rocket to get some sun. I'm asking that question just as a general question. If the sun did not come up tomorrow, you know, you got up and had your coffee and you looked out, God, it's kind of dark out there. It's a cloudy day. Then later you went out and, oh my gosh, there's no sun. What would you conclude? That is the question. Dear Art, if that happened to me at 9:30 a.m., I'd call my stockbroker and I'd sell the following stock short. Ray-Ban sunglasses, Coppertone, Amalgamated Window Tinting, and Sun-Kissed Oranges. Barry in Arizona. Or how about this from New Orleans? Dear Art, not a problem. I've never been a day person anyhow. Signed, Lestat, New Orleans. Dear Art, if the sun did not come up, I would conclude that I was back on the dark side of the moon from whence I came, and I could only hope that I would never, ever have to return to this cesspool of humanity. Well, there's a bright word from somebody who calls himself Basement John. Hey, Art, just downloaded a Hubble photo of the Crab Nebula. It is 2 weeks old, and I could see a little dot heading into the nebula. It's got to be Madman Markham. Oh, that's another subject. Madman may be history. I wonder if we should do something special for Madman. Have a moment of silence or something. You're not supposed to do that on radio. I don't know. I'll have to think about it. Some sort of tribute to Madman. Art, I've actually had something similar, like your what if, happen to me. I woke up turning off my obnoxious alarm, only to realize I was late for work. So, quickly, I put my pants on, ran a comb through my hair, squeezed a dab of toothpaste into my mouth, sped off to work in my car. I first noticed something was up when the traffic was so minimal. But it wasn't until I got to work about 15 minutes later that I noticed the door was locked. You see, it was Saturday. I never felt so embarrassed. I was glad nobody had seen me and skulked away. Jeff in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That would be bad. You get down there and it's all locked up. And you look around, hoping nobody else sees you, when you suddenly realize it is Saturday. Oh, Lordy. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello there. This is Michael calling from Denver, listening to Real Talk 630 KHOW.
Well, that's a way to promo your station.
Yeah, you're going to have to do some new cuts for those folks. They've taken all the stations, J-Corps here in Denver, like KOA was News Radio 85 for years. Now they're calling them News Radio 850.
Well,
J-Corps
eats radio stations like my cat eats a shredded steak.
I don't know if you're familiar with the Book of Mormon in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I am.
In 3rd Nephi, it talks about when the Savior came to Bethlehem on the western, the American continent, pretty much the exact opposite of what you're talking about happened. There was a day and a night and a day with no darkness.
Well, it's as good a question. I mean, what if you were ready to go to bed and nightfall should be coming and there was no nightfall and the sun just sat there, what would you conclude?
Well, being a Mormon myself, I guess I'd have to conclude that the Savior was coming again. When the Savior died 33 years later, pretty much the same thing that happened, only there was 3 days of darkness.
3 days of darkness.
Mm-hmm. When the Savior was crucified.
You know what? I think that socially, mm-hmm. humanity would not survive 3 days of darkness. In fact, I'm not even sure about one.
Yeah, and then to make it all worse, for 3 hours of that time, there was total destruction and earthquakes and cities.
Did you hear about the big earthquake near Israel?
Didn't.
Cyprus, 6.8.
When was this?
Was just hours ago. Actually, this morning, yesterday morning now. And it hit Israel and the entire area. Shook up people, I think even killed a couple of people. One in Egypt, one in Cyprus. So, you know, they might calculate they're getting a message over there. I don't know.
Yeah, well, another question. I was listening, I had recorded your show with the reverse speech.
Oh, yes.
And I have a tape recorder. It's just the way it's set up. I'm blind, and we have four-track long play tapes. And the way they're set up, it will play regular tapes backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, why not? I'm going to sit here and see if I can figure out any reversals. And I found a few, but they were very far-spaced. Sounded like when he was talking about his halfway house, I thought I might have heard Hellfire. One that I thought was fascinating with you is you said, yeah, right, a light bulb turned on, and I played it backwards, and yeah, right, you said it again backwards.
Did I really?
But I'm not, I don't know, I guess you really have to have the trained ear, because for the most part, I wasn't.
I'll tell you one. I talked to David earlier
mm-hmm.
In the day today, and he has begun going, he's about halfway through the first debate, and
okay.
he found very few reversals, and it's because all of it was prepped, all of it was committed to memory. You know, the candidates committed everything and all the answers and responses to memory, so it was all prepared, and you get very few reversals in cases like that.
Yeah, I bet. Finally, last question. What is the difference between Chancellor Broadcasting Company and Talk Radio Network?
Well, they're different corporate entities. Chancellor Broadcasting Company is me.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it is only my show, my program.
Okay.
TRN is an offshoot, came after CBC, and carries the rest of the 24 hours a day of programming.
Okay, so you are the only program that CBC carries.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. And again, Madman Markham may have done it, folks. I've got a newspaper article here from St. Joe, Missouri. It says Madman sent a cat through, and the cat went a block away, turned up a block away. Friends say they haven't seen Madman in 2 weeks. This could be it. Where or when is Madman now? East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah. All right, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, I got a question for you. This is Randy at KFH Country.
Yes, sir. Wichita.
Oh, yeah, okay. Got a question for you about, have you had any idea about when you're going to be able to get Gordon Michael Scallion back on?
It's a very good question. And the answer is going to be I'm going to call him soon and try to get him back on soon.
Yeah, because I'd love to hear what he's got to say about some of his latest shaking going on.
Oh, it sure has been rocking and rolling, hasn't it?
And another thing, I really caught an interesting program with you one night with Judy Pope.
Oh, yes.
And I guess she's married to Ghost Wolf.
Yes.
I've been trying to find out her phone number because I would desperately like to get old some of her books. And I was wondering sometime on the air if you could announce that number.
I will see what I can do.
Okay, I really appreciate it.
All right, take care. And one way to get those items from long ago is to get a copy of the show in question. And the number to get a copy of a show is 1-800-917-4278. That's 1-800-917-4278. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Mike in St. Louis.
Hi, Mike.
About Madman Markham, I was wondering, when he first had his Jacob's Ladder, he threw a metal screw through it and it disappeared.
Right.
So I was wondering if there is that much danger if he put anything metal through. But if there was, I was thinking he might be able to slip a fiber optic lens through to see what's on the other side.
Well, he might. Apparently, he's out on his own now because he put a cat through, according to this newspaper article.
A couple other things, too. I was thinking if that is a gateway to another space, let's just hope it's not a gateway to outer space because it might try to suck our atmosphere right off the planet.
Well, I would think it would be the other way around. In other words, it would suck the atmosphere from Madman's lungs if he were to be projected into a vacuum where nobody can hear you scream in space, right?
Yeah, I was also wondering, wouldn't it be a shock if they open up the sphinx and there's Madman?
There's Madman about half rotted away.
Yeah.
Yuck. I am actually kind of worried about him. I wonder where he is. I mean, he's disappeared. And that's the one thing you didn't want to have happen to Madman. Doggone it, he was supposed to call me before he did this kind of thing.
Yeah, well, maybe it wasn't his choice, too.
Well, he put a cat through. Now, according to this article, he put a cat through, so.
Well, considering how they managed to get a hold of Stan Dale when he was doing his experiments, I'm wondering if they might have gotten a hold of Madman before he went any farther with his.
Well, if he's never found, I suppose we had to think up some sort of memorial for him, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, you know, he's not necessarily dead. He's just changed.
Right.
Sort of.
Scattered all over.
Scattered. All right, thank you very much for the call. Or off on a alternative planet, maybe even good old Mother Earth, in some other time or dimension, wandering around looking for some other, any other living thing.
west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, good morning, Art. This is Rick from Palos Verdes. Pick me up on KABC.
Hi, Rick.
Yeah, listen here. I got some hot scoop for you. You know, I missed a couple of nights because I've been feeling ill, but I don't know if you got the hot information about a journalist from New York by the name of George Carpozzi.
Okay.
He was on the Ray Bream show. George Putnam first had him on, then Ray Bream had him on the other day. And this man wrote a book called Clinton Confidential, The Climb to Power. And he has documentation that Ross Perot and a bunch of other CEOs were on this here list to helping Hillary Clinton try to push this socialized health plan through.
Yeah.
Have you heard about it?
Well, that's an old story, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Boy, quite revealing, you know. The name of his book is Clinton Confidential, The Climb to Power.
Mm-hmm.
But he claims to have documented evidence, and some people called in that were Ross Perot fans. I knew one guy's voice. He was a chapter leader in United We Stand.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy seems to have the goods on him, I'll tell you. You know, I wonder how come we ever think about having him on the air?
Well, no. Actually, no. The healthcare plan was knocked down long ago, as you know. It was far too ambitious, as we all know.
Yeah, I know that, but he claims that Ross Perot made many contacts with Clinton.
Well, I'm sure he did. Ross Perot was probably generally in favor of that plan. He had worked with the government, we all know, with regard to earlier government contracts on healthcare, so it's not a surprise. Why is that a shock?
Well, what it was is what this guy said is that he wanted to put in some kind of a plan of his own, you know, but he was like bumping heads with Hillary.
Hmm.
But just the idea that here's a guy running for office. He had a lot of people all over the country really hepped up behind him. I even voted for him like you did, and I feel taken in now. And it's like it was kind of like a fraudulent election, you know, just a he was a spoiler, in other words, the way this guy says, you know, to spoil, you know, make sure to get Bush.
Well, I know a lot of people thought that, but thank you. The real truth is, in all the polling data they did after the last election, they determined that had Ross Perot not been in that election, the votes would have split just about exactly evenly between the Republicans and the Democrats had Ross been out of the election. So for all the people that think he was a spoiler, the facts say he was not. He's going to be far less of an influence in this election. In this boring, horrible election coming up. I'm beginning to get strong feelings about this election, all right, but they're not good. And so I'm sort of just, I really don't even want to, you know what? I don't even really want to talk about it. I knew what was going to happen. It's coming true. And that's all I have to say about it right now. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
You've almost scared me to death. Is this Art?
It is Art, yes.
Okay, I'm listening from Dallas, Texas. You're listening on Cliff. I love you. I love your show, and I've called with a what if.
All right.
What if you taped your little cat Comet meowing, played it backwards, and heard the following? Art, help! I'm in trouble! I'm in trouble! It's Madman! Help, Art, help! What would you do?
Well, I'd brush him some more.
I love you, Art.
You're down in Dallas, huh?
Dallas, Texas. Listen to you almost every night. You scare me to death sometimes with some of the stuff you talk about. I live alone.
Oh, I scare myself sometimes.
I keep the lights on. I'm afraid to keep my back to the hallway, but I love it.
Well, you be sure and let KLIF know you enjoy it.
I will. And one other thing, I haven't heard anyone mention those strange lights in the sky that was shown on CNN today from, I think it was Arizona.
Really? I didn't see them.
Oh, Art, there was photographs of these weird, multicolored lights like you would see in an oil spill. All these beautiful lights.
No kidding.
And it was a great...
Oh, that was the launch of a rocket, dear. Yes, I saw them myself.
Well, Art...
Listen, can you hold on?
That was the official government explanation.
Yeah, can...
Sure.
You can hold on through a break because we've got... We've got a break coming up, and
I'd be happy to.
All right, then stay right there. I know you're in Dallas, and we'll be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Moody River, your muddy water took my baby's life. Premier Network presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 9th, 1990.
Aloha, Art. Did you see the report on CNN today reporting the high incidence of deformed frogs in the upper Midwest? They didn't mention a specific state. These frogs were missing limbs, had extra appendages, and very small eyes. The scientists think it might have something to do with increased solar radiation. And indeed, I've got a report on the ozone this morning that's really scary. It is a technical report. I'll try and sort through it and get it to you. All right, ma'am, you're back on the air again from Dallas.
Well, it's good to talk to you. I'm surprised you're so quick to believe what the government says.
No, I'm not. But I don't think it's the government saying the frogs are bad. As a matter of fact, I've got an Associated Press story here that says that the frogs are... did you hear me read it earlier?
I sure did.
You did?
I read it in the paper, too, yeah.
Well, there you go. What do you think?
I'm wondering if it has something to do with black budget stuff. I'm wondering if it has something to do with this human genome thing and testing things and animals and who's messing with this and why.
So you think the government's...
I'm beginning to think, Art, that we do have one party.
Oh, yeah.
I'm beginning to wonder if we haven't already been invaded by something from elsewhere. I also wonder why when I watch the NASA station, whenever we have something flying up in the air and we look down and see the Earth,
right,
they never show us the poles. I don't know why. Do you? It
no.
angers me.
Must be something they don't want us to see.
I believe so. Why don't they show us those poles?
I don't know. I want to see the pole, and I want to see it now.
And I want to know exactly what that was up in the air. They lied about Roswell, and I don't believe this thing about high-altitude radar testing, leaving those weird colors and that weird shape of that white trail in the sky.
Yep.
Rockets go up, and they come down. They don't make complex figure eights.
Well, sometimes they do.
Well, maybe it was a big black triangle flying around spilling fuel up in the air. Maybe it's Project HARP.
It's true. It could be any of that.
It could be any of that, and I'm upset, and you're not that upset.
Maybe it was Madman Markham making his exit.
But how come you're so quick to say, well, you know, the Republicans are going to lose, and everything's going to be okay? It sounds like you're laying down.
I'll tell you something. I may lay down further than that. I may not even vote for the first time in my life.
I've been thinking of doing the same thing.
Have you?
I've been thinking of it. I always wondered, what if they gave an election and nobody voted?
Well, this may be the time for me. Thank you, dear. Listen, I'm going to say that. For the first time in my life, you know, I thought I was going to vote for Bob Dole. But I don't think I'm going to. I like Harry Brown a lot. But there are a couple of critical areas of disagreement I have with Harry. I may not vote. I voted for Ross Perot in the last presidential election. I still kind of wish he'd made it to office. He would have really, really shook him up. And they'd have shaken him up. He wouldn't have lasted long, but he'd have gone in there and raised hell, you know? So I'm actually to the point for the first time, actually the first time in my adult life, when I'm not sure that my vote, I'm not going to say my vote wouldn't make a difference, but I'm not sure that I would cast it with any clear understanding of what I was doing. Or, yeah, I suppose I could even say that it would make a difference, because I'm not sure it does make a difference. I'm really not sure. Gun control, critical core issues, I'm not sure it makes a difference. And if it doesn't make a difference, if I really can't understand in my mind why there would be a real difference, and I'm not even sure. You know, the argument, I know, Art, the Supreme Court appointments, I'm not sure there's a difference there. Both of these candidates are liable to appoint very middle-of-the-road Supreme Court justices, I do believe. There's going to be a Republican Congress, I do believe. So I'm kind of lost. For the first time in my entire political adult life, I am lost. And I'm just sort of sitting out there, twisting slowly in the breeze right now. First time ever. first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Mary from Marysville, Washington.
Mary from Marysville.
Yes. I wanted to let you know that I really agree with you on the gun control thing, and I apologize for the noise. I'm on a cell phone, and I'm driving a semi-truck.
Oh.
But I've had, you know, in my years past, I've always had a handgun at home when I was raising kids, and my husband was on the road, and I was there by myself.
Sure.
And I'm a level-headed school secretary, you know, church-going normal, you know, everyday American woman. I don't really feel like it's fair for the government to be able to say that we can't have handguns. At this point in my life, I'm driving trucks now with my husband, and we go to and from Canada every night. And interesting enough, we can't have the guns with us going in, and yet the East Indian people that are in Canada can carry their great big huge knife, you know, swatch, whatever you call them.
Sure.
Anyway, and they call it a religion. So I figure the answer for us is evidently we need to have a religion for people that want to be able to still have handguns for protection of their families.
By God, you may be onto it.
Anyway, so I figured that would be the answer to our problem. We just got to join in with how they pulled it off.
The Temple of Smith and Wesson.
That's it. Anyway, that's just the main thing I wanted to say, and that I sure enjoy your show. I just started driving truck a year ago, and you've been wonderful to keep me company every night while I'm driving.
Yeah, we're good on the highway.
You're great.
All right, thank you. Take care. All right, let me update you since we're past the 1 o'clock hour. There's a lot of stations that join us, probably don't know what we're talking about. I'm going to read you. There was a CNN piece earlier today about deformed frogs. I'm sorry to say that I've got an Associated Press article here that goes way beyond that. And a lady called me and said, Art, you know, these deformed frogs are because of the Mississippi flooding. And that's why we've got them. I thought, well, there's a good explanation, but it's not. And that will become apparent to you as you listen to this. Associated Press, not me making it up, AP. Bruce Nelson was catching frogs for catfish bait last year when he realized something was horribly wrong. Some of the frogs had stumps for legs. Others had as many as 4 tangled hind legs. Tangled. You see deformed things all the time in nature, he said, but nothing like this. All across Minnesota, into neighboring Wisconsin, South Dakota, as far away as Quebec in Canada, and Vermont in the U.S., scientists and locals are seeing the same kind of grotesquely misshapen limbs, along with frogs with tails, missing or shrunken eyes, and smaller sex organs. In fact, scientists have had a hard time finding wetlands in Minnesota with no deformed frogs. Judy Helgen, a research scientist with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, said, "It scares me. I'm at different levels of getting a chill down my spine." So there you are. And I've got a big new report on the ozone hole here that I'm going to try and digest. It is not a simple read-it kind of deal. It's several pages of a technical explanation of what they have found. Regarding Madman Markham, I'm almost to the point of trying to figure out a memorial for the poor guy. I don't know for sure that he's gone, but the signs are bad. There's an article in the St. Joe Press indicating that Madman sent a cat a block away through his machine, and it turned up a block away. A madman is missing, according to this article, quoting, "Friends say they have not seen him in 2 weeks, and they speculate he may have been ahead of schedule with regard to his T-minus 30 days and counting, so Madman may be gone. Or if he's not gone, he may be changed. All right, my wife, Jackie, brought this to my attention for a possible documentary we might do. I thought about it when you talked about the frogs, Jerry in L.A. We never miss a night, and thank the Masons for bringing Dreamland to KABC. Thank the Masons. Art, hi. We are faxing you to ask a quick question. Are you planning to have another board op night any time soon? And if so, when? You know, you are absolutely right. This is Sean and Phil, your faithful board ops at 780 KOH Reno. I do that every now and then. I did it once before. I had a board op night, I think the first in the nation, where we take calls from all the board operators around the country. And you're absolutely right. It has been too long, and I will do another, and I will do it soon. How about that? UFOs over Nashville, WWTN, last night gave a report during their hourly news regarding a UFO sighting in Franklin, Tennessee, about 15 miles south of Nashville. Seemed citizens as well as sheriff's deputies witnessed the UFO hovering over a field for about an hour. However, there has been no more news about it. Would you ask your listeners for any details? Okay. Anybody out there have any details? UFOs over Tennessee. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, let me turn on the radio.
Yes, by all means.
Well, good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Seattle.
Yes, sir.
And I did a little backwards taping on you this morning.
Uh-oh.
And when you're talking about our friend Mike Markham.
Oh, yes.
And I'm just going to read what I've got.
All right.
One time you said Ford, he would go ahead like this, and it says, ah, now see what the hell we have.
Really?
And this one's a little bit longer. It says,
Do you have the actual backward recording?
Yeah.
Can you play it?
Well, I'd have to search for it, and I can send it to you.
All right.
And this one's a little bit longer, and it says, the overnight host said, oh, this is Ford. The overnight host said, quote, if he's going to do it, we're going to videotape it. And backwards, you say, oh, I'm a little nervous. backwards, you say, you never knew it grew. It always been there. We see it if it grows.
Oh, that's weird. That's really weird. That sounds like the frog story.
Exactly. Oh, I got something for you.
Yes?
Kilos.
Thank you.
We
need that every now and then.
You gotta keep those craze on top of things.
That's right. All right, thank you.
All right, have a good one.
Take care. Dear Art, Tuesday night, I took my astronomy class outside to look through the telescope. While we were out there, among the people who stopped by to see what we were doing, was a member of the campus police force who told me that they had just come from the other side of the campus, where they had been called to investigate some people fighting with swords. So maybe we really do need sword control. Ron in Birmingham, Alabama. We were talking about swords earlier. On guard. You know, going into a 7-Eleven with a sword. You're a candy all your life, swab. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Oh, never mind.
Okay. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Hey, I was thinking that maybe these frogs are evolving into the chupacabras.
Well, you know, what you say has actually some value. They're not evolving into chupacabras, but if there are deformed frogs, then why should we not believe there are chupas?
That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Art.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Did you hear that down in Dallas? Think about it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Art.
Hello.
Oh, God, scared me. I'm in Houston, Texas here, and we have a problem here that kind of a local problem with the individual that owns both the talk radio stations here. I understand that you're number one locally here.
Yes, sir.
Now.
Yes, sir.
And it's following a pattern. Every time someone has become number one locally in this market,
yeah,
this individual, who's kind of a megalomaniac, I won't mention his name, starts shifting their time, starts stepping on their show around the news breaks and stuff. For the last week, it's been very difficult to get any of your call-in numbers because you usually announce them at the top and the bottom of the hour.
I do.
And,
well, actually, it's a tape that does it, but yes.
Okay. Well, he's been doing that, extending the news breaks or stuffing a commercial over it or something. I'm not sure what, but whatever it is, you don't hear it. And I think he's removed you altogether. You have a kind of a political talk show where you have other people come in on a Saturday night, I believe it is.
No.
That's not you?
No.
Okay, well, he seems like he's removed you one day altogether. And every time he started this with somebody in this market, he's eventually worked him out of the market.
Well, look, I don't think that's the case. And number one is number one, and we are number one in Houston. We have been for many surveys now.
Mm-hmm.
And I rather doubt that they're doing anything untoward. They're probably just doing an extended news break or something. These things happen. I'm sure you'll find everything will be okay.
Well, you don't know this guy. And I think just for the simple fact that you're not a cheerleader, as you said.
No, I'm not.
You know, is the main reason. Because everybody that he's dumped has been pretty much that has a person that has chosen not to follow what he considers the party line. As a matter of fact, he even fired a sportscaster for ridiculing the big guy.
What big guy?
Limbaugh.
Rush?
Yeah, he fired a sportscaster for ridiculing him.
Why?
Because he is a devout disciple of Limbaugh, the owner of...
Well, I like Rush. Actually, though, I like Rush, too.
Well, I don't have too much of a problem with him, but...
Rush simply is doing what Rush does,
yeah.
And he does it damn well, actually. He's...
Yeah, but when,
very good at what he does.
But when you have him, like in this market, you can get him 2 to 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get the people that are, let's say, more informative, the people that say that have guests on,
mm-hmm.
and offer more of a diversity of opinion, are the ones that are squeezed out of this market totally. He has a number of talk shows. He's even managed to get on TV sometime where they like a sports talk show, where they goad each other on with real adolescent insults, and that's basically the whole show.
Well, look, sir, thank you for the call, but I wouldn't worry about it. KTRH has been a very loyal, very, very good affiliate. The numbers there are very solid, and I wouldn't be concerned about it. We are simply a very different kind of talk show than Rush. Rush does what he does, and he does it very well. I choose a different path. It's not that I necessarily disagree with a lot of what Rush says, because I don't. The guy is brilliant. That cannot be denied. Rush is absolutely brilliant. I just choose a different path. And nighttime audiences and daytime audiences are different animals. And so I program to a nighttime audience, a different audience. And I hope that what we do in our time segment is as well received, and according to the surveys, it certainly is, as what is done during the day is received by that audience. Not everybody needs to follow in the big guy's footsteps. I don't do that. As a matter of fact, actually, I don't follow in anybody's footsteps. I prefer to create my own and do what I enjoy doing. And I wouldn't worry about KTRH. They are a superb affiliate, well-respected in Houston, and have been carrying the show for a very, very long time. And it's been number one for a very, very long time. So if it was number oneness that would get you done in, we would have been done in some time ago. All right, we're going to take a quick break, do a couple of things. As a matter of fact, I'm late to do them, and we'll be right back. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
I need help, bad.
Proceed.
Reverse speech.
Yes.
I have called around. I am looking for any help that anyone can give me about getting the equipment to do this. I mean, as far as a regular cassette player, I call around, and we're talking $400 and $500 worth of equipment from what I...
Nah.
I didn't think so.
My guest, who was on, had one, and I think he said it sold for around $50 or something.
Hmm.
That's a lot different, isn't it? $50?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I wonder where you can get them.
Well, you can get them from David, for one place.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I've got that tape. I must have not heard it. I'll have to play it back and see what he says.
There you are. He offers a number and address. He said he didn't have stock right now, but probably by now he has it.
Okay.
So he's your guy.
Okay, a couple quick comments.
Real quick.
Madman.
Yes.
I saw 12 Monkeys this weekend.
You did. What do you think of 12 Monkeys?
I loved it. I can't wait to see it again. I'm sure there's so many little things that I missed.
Listen, I'm at a break. Do you want to hold on?
Sure.
All right, then holding you are, and we will take a break here at the top of the hour, come back and do more of whatever it is we do in the nighttime, and it definitely is different, isn't it?
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 9th, 1996. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
And you're back on the air again, sir.
Yeah, anyway, back to Madman.
Yes.
I thought it would be ironic if he was bebopping around in the future, saving all our butts from some impending disaster.
You mean kind of like 12 Monkeys?
Right, exactly.
That's a good point. Ever since I saw 12 Monkeys, I fell in love with Wonderful World. And that's why I use it as bumper music.
Oh, I picked up on that right away. I was watching it thinking, oh, that's where that came from.
You've got it. That's where it came from. I love that movie.
Okay. A quick comment on the Bozo comment Dole made.
Yes.
I thought it was an insult to all decent, hardworking clowns everywhere.
Well, I'm afraid it was only half-hearted anyway, and they've decided not to go after Clinton on character issues, and it's all over, sir.
It's so boring.
I know.
It really is.
I know.
It's sad.
I know. Now, would you like it if I came on here five hours a night and bashed Clinton or talked about politics for 5 hours? Could you handle that?
I think I could handle it for a half hour, maybe.
Have a good
Not
night,
five
sir.
Hours.
That's about what I give you, about a half hour a night of boring politics. And yes, I know what a woolly mammoth is, and I thought I would ask her anyway. After all, if they can bring back a woolly mammoth, then why not Neanderthal? And she'd be the first one to be asked about that, wouldn't she? Art Bell, I'm Brian from San Diego. You just stated on your program that the ship, O.R. Cruise, is already half booked for the trip to the pyramids. I called on the first day that you had the ad on to get the pamphlet. I haven't received any information yet. After hearing it's half booked, I'm upset. It's a life dream of mine to see the pyramids, and I don't want to miss out. I'd like to meet you also. I believe it will be the trip of all trips. Most of the people going probably have not seen the pyramids in person, and like me, will be truly amazed. It'll be fun sharing that experience with people for the first time. Yes, you're right. Look, don't worry. It is true that it's about half booked, and the reason that is true is because there have been a number of people who haven't even waited for the pamphlets. They've just called up and said, book me. You know, book them, Dano. I'm going. So don't worry, you're okay. If you've got the pamphlet on the way, you're okay. And you're probably okay anyway, but the early bird gets the cheap rate. That's why we're concentrating. There's several reasons we're on this early. It's because you get a better rate. It's because you get a better cabin. It's because there are more cabins to be had before everything's gone. And this is booking fast. I'll give you that. There are just a lot of people who have called up and said, book me. You know, send me the pamphlet later, but book me now. And so that's why it is half booked. So give them a call, is what I would say. Give them a call. At this hour, I'll just give you the West Coast. No, I'll give you two. The Midwest is 1-800-633-2732. 1-800-633-2732. West Coast, 1-800-848-7120. That's 1-800-848-7120. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Mr. Bell.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling from Rochester, New York. My name is Terry.
Hi, Terry.
You've been off the air here for about an hour, and let me look here. Hour and 11 minutes.
I understand.
But I thought it was imperative I talk to you tonight.
Okay.
You made a comment there when you came out at 2 o'clock that you thought it almost appeared that they were throwing the election.
Yeah.
They are. The reason why I stayed up this late to call you is it's funny, I was going to get a hold of you within the next couple months. I got a book coming out. I hope it'll be out by this spring, but I might be a little ahead of myself on that. I've been working on it since 83, and I'll show you exactly how they've been blowing them all along.
Okay.
In other words, Bush blew his.
What is the name? Yeah, I always thought that myself. What is the name of your book going to be?
Well, I don't have a name for it yet.
Okay.
That's the least of my worries right now.
Uh-huh.
But I got the project put together. What I would like to do is somehow communicate with you after hours, and I think I'd make an excellent guest for your show.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll sit here for 30 minutes after the program and answer the phone. How's that?
Same number I just called?
Yep.
You got it.
All right.
So, in other words, you're talking, at least about 50 minutes from now.
Something like that, yeah.
You got it.
You better give me about 5 minutes after the show, because I've got a couple of commercials I've got to pass on, or that I've got to... Well, no, I can do that later. Okay,
I couldn't even believe when you came on the air tonight and said it appears that they're throwing it.
Well, hey, I just call them the way I see them.
They sure are.
Thank you very much for the call. I just can't and won't spout somebody's party line and avoid saying what I really think. And, yeah, I know. I may do this at the cost of my own scalp. I don't care. You know, I just don't care anymore. If I can't come on here and tell you what I really believe and what I really think, then I'd just not be here. Okay? I'll call somebody else's talk show and raise hell. So I've determined and have for a long time now, a long time ago, that I would say what I feel. And I know what I feel is not that pretty these days regarding politics, but that's what I feel. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. I've been trying to get to you all night, and I am calling because of your discouragement about the election. But I first want to ask you something. Is there a way of you have to be the one to tell your telephone company not to cut all of us off who are ringing the phone? And
no way to do it, ma'am.
No way? Okay. All right, here's what I wanted to tell you. I did some research for you today on this gun issue, and apparently it was a big budget bill that they wanted passed.
It's called a continuing resolution.
Yeah, and they stuck this thing on there.
That's right.
But they stuck it on, but the people who voted for it, the Republicans, realized that it was not going to stick, that the Supreme Court was going to strike it down. So they went to pass the budget bill. They went ahead and voted for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would at least hopefully relieve some of your discouragement in that line. And please, the Democrats and the Republicans are very different from one another. One wants big government and the other one wants to spend and give goodies to people and be in control of their lives. And I'm really, really, I know that it's difficult what we saw in the debate. They weren't, you know, home runs and so on, but...
Did you see the vice presidential debate last night?
I did. I fell asleep in the middle of it.
I don't blame you.
But I did see most, you know, I got the gist of what it was, and I think that...
Gore won. It's impossible. But,
well,
but Gore won, and I'll tell you something. Of anybody that should have been able to take Gore into little tiny pieces, it should have been...
Kemp.
It should have been Kemp, and he had a horrible day. I mean, I've never seen Kemp have that bad a day. Normally, Kemp is the most energized, electric, alive, great debater that ever touched the face of the earth, and it was like he was dead to the world.
I have a prophecy that from a psychic friend who had some other psychic friend tell her that the Clinton would be elected, but then he would be impeached, and I hate to hear that, so I hope we'll all try to do some prayers and not to have our country face that.
Well, I agree with you. Thank you. I think that Mr. Clinton is going to be reelected, and I hope to hell he's not impeached. I mean, I've already faced this reelection business. I know that's going to occur. America going through an impeachment, you see, I went through the Richard Nixon years, believe me, as many of you did. It is so horrible for a country that even with Mr. Clinton, it is the last thing you should ever want or ever hope for or wish for. An impeachment or even a threatened impeachment producing a resignation is so terrible that it takes a nation 30 years or a generation to recover from it. No, you don't want that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, I've been listening to you for a while, and I'm surprised how rude you are to your callers and in your speech and how you talk to them, just to go to show what kind of a smoker face you really are.
Who was I rude to? I guess he hung up. Cowardly. I don't think I was rude to anybody. I try not to be rude to people. And I don't know in what way I was rude, and you apparently were too cowardly to stick around and say how I was rude to people. You don't like me, so who cares? There's a lot of people that don't like me. You can't say what you feel and say what you really feel without having people dislike you. I also became comfortable with that years ago, so hate me, sir. It's okay. I know you got to listen, though. You've got to keep listening, don't you, to find out how much you really hate me, how much you really can't stand me, what my new level of rudeness in your way of thinking can be. What new low point can Art hit tonight? So you keep listening, don't you? You've got to listen. You're drawn to me like iron filings to a magnet, aren't you? See, I've got you down. He's red-faced now and kicking his radio. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, the Italian Stallion. Well, that guy was totally wrong. I think you're the coolest person at this time slot and the best.
Well, I try not to be rude to people.
Radio show
anyway.
On the whole world right now at this time, and I saw that debate tonight, and I just, you know, like you, I've been pretty much, you know, dissatisfied from last year when they were talking about putting Dole in there. I think, you know, so much for Dan Quayle. I thought Dan Quayle would have, you know, he had problems in the past, but I think he would have done a lot better with Powell in there, him and Powell, but.
Dan Quayle has matured a great deal.
Yeah, I think he would have done really good. And not only that, Americans shouldn't be surprised. The economy's doing really good and everything like that. And,
that's right.
And usually you don't switch horses in the middle of a stream.
No, you don't.
But anyway, I got one prediction.
All right.
In the 1990s, or when President does get in office, I believe we're going to have a bad war. I just feel there's a war around the corner in the next 4 years, so that's my prediction.
Well, I hope you're wrong, but you know,
yeah, I hope so too. But
you know, normally in America, you can predict a war in the next 4 years and be pretty much right on.
Yeah. All right. All right. You have a good night and do the good job still.
All right. Take care, sir. Thank you. Yeah, you can usually predict a war within the next 4 years. We're actually rather warlike, you know, as a people. You compare the American people to the Canadian people, and I know they're listening at this hour, and we're pretty much warlike. We're very aggressive, or at least traditionally we've been, and we still have great vestiges of that left. We're a very aggressive, entrepreneur-like, even warlike people. I don't shy from that. It's true. Look at all of our history and see if you can deny it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
I was wanting to talk to you about the little government assistance type thing that you all were talking about earlier.
Yes, sir.
One of my friends lives in South Carolina. I just got back from visiting her. She goes to community college and takes several courses. She had to take out a student loan to take these classes. She works two jobs to pay for rent, but she lives with her grandmother, and she barely has money to put gas in her car and eat on, and she's having to pay for her own schooling and everything, and she gets about 5 hours of sleep a night, and it makes me sick. I used to work at a grocery store, and my mom used to work for a welfare office, and it makes me sick to see these people come in with more gold than probably Fort Knox has, driving long Cadillacs, wearing fur coats, and when they go to pick up their welfare check, they take off the fur coats and jewelry and go in jogging clothes, pick up their check, and then go to the grocery store and spend that on steaks and stuff, and then they got hundreds of dollars of bills to pay for the other stuff that's not covered under that food stamps or whatever they have. And
well,
I just think it's totally wrong.
Well, it is. but it's totally expected, and it is now the way business is done.
Yeah,
in America, I mean, they've come to expect it. It's their right, and by God, they'll have it or they'll be held to pay.
Mm-hmm. They expect a handout now.
That's it. All right, sir, thank you very much for the call. Yeah, that's it. It's the expectation. And it very quickly becomes that. I mean, a matter of very short time indeed, what people are given freely as a privilege, they, within a very short time, come to expect as an absolute right. And if they don't get it, oh, man, there is hell to pay. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, Art Bell, this is the Shadow.
Hello, Shadow.
Yeah, I want to get back to something you talked about a week ago about the scientific discovery about the cavemen. I can't pronounce it.
Neanderthals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. The discovery was it wasn't. They thought that he was not related to man.
That's correct.
Okay. Now the people who believe in creationism would have believed that way anyway all along, and so therefore to them people. Hearing your show, it was not a surprise because they never thought that man had came from the ape in the first place.
Right.
And so to me, when I heard that, this only gave more proof to my own belief in creationism.
Well, that's good.
And so, but I was surprised that it was not even discussed or didn't come up hardly at all that morning. And so that's the reason why I called in to say, gave my two cents in that, hey, as a Christian and person who believes in creationism, does not believe in evolution, that...
We're not connected to those stupid Neanderthals anyhow, right?
Right.
We are created by God, we're unique, we're human, and we're his creatures, right?
Right.
I think I've got it. All right, sir, thank you very much, Shadow, for your call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, sir. Dwight in Tennessee, how are you?
I'm just fine.
Oh, that's good. Boy, sure is nice to hear you on an FM station on the mighty WTN.
Well,
we don't have to put up with that fading and all that.
That's right. An FM station gives you perfect voice quality.
Oh, it does. You sound quite a bit different on the phone, but I can tell it's you.
Well, I bet it. I sure, of course, I do. And in fact, the difference from AM to FM would make my voice on the phone sound even more out to lunch.
Oh, wait. Matter of fact, I am a ham operator also, and I really enjoy the hobby. And
I love it.
Oh, I do too.
I wish the bands would get better.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, what I called about.
I've got a brand new transceiver here. I mean, we're talking serious transceiver, an FT, a 1000 MP.
Oh, yeah.
And it is beautiful, and I sit here and I look at it, and I go and I turn on 20 meters, 15 meters during the day. My face sags. I mean, this brand new transceiver, and I want the bands to get better.
Yeah, I've got
stupid son.
I got a Kenwood 450 at home, and then a Icom 706 here in the truck with me. So.
Well, I say we all go out and chant at the sun.
Oh, by the way, I didn't really call about this, but have you heard about the new FCC ruling at the first of the year that may cut us back to 50 watts on HF? Have you heard about that?
Well. Look, I know about it. They're talking about RF levels for safety and that kind of thing.
And we got HART going on up there, and they're worried about us?
Yeah, really. I mean, look, I really don't think it's going to result in that. I know what the proposed rulemaking is, but I got my SB220 here, and that sucker's running 50-watt limit or not.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Anyway, what I called about, a couple of days ago, there was a couple of things on Paul Harvey that... called my attention. He mentioned Courtney Brown.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he did, about the possibility of life on Mars.
Yes.
And Billy Graham also believes it. But anyway, and another thing I called about...
Wait, excuse me. He said Billy Graham has said he believes in life on Mars or life...
life away from here.
Out there somewhere, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, another thing that on the same broadcast that I called about was about this student somewhere that... was evidently in grammar school, I guess, and he was strip searched. And, to look for paddle marks. Apparently, maybe someone thought he was getting paddled at home.
Oh, really?
And, So the parents...
The school did the strip search?
Yes, without the parents' permission.
Oh, that's very bad. Very bad. Listen, I'm at a break, and I got to go. 73s.
Okay. 73s to you, and 88s to Ramona.
Thank you very much, and have a good morning. SWTN Nashville. Big, big FM signal in Nashville.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 9th, 1996.
Well, okay, I guess this says it pretty well. Dear Art, the national elections appear to have as much credibility as professional wrestling. It's becoming more and more apparent that the ruling oligarchy of this country has an agenda. Citizens presented with a dog and pony show. I first began to get suspicious with the extremely poor campaign of George Bush in 1992. James Baker openly threw in the towel at the end of the campaign. I have my suspicions reinforced when Republican candidates refused to, quote, go for the jugular vein, end quote. This was very apparent with Jack Kemp's less than typical performance tonight. Increasingly, the courts are becoming the implementers of the ruling elite's agenda. Sincerely, Ron in Fresno. Dead on, Ron. That's what we'll call you, dead on, Ron. Exactly right, and that is the way I am reading all of this, too, I'm sorry to say. And I'm probably feeling a little discouraged tonight, but I'm avoiding it by hardly talking about it. Because I see no redeeming value in thrashing it to death. I see what's happening right now. I saw it coming much, much, much earlier. Well, I've seen it coming for almost a year now. And I don't know quite yet what to fully make of it. I'm certainly not prepared to say they are throwing an election. Okay? That's a horrible charge. And I don't know that I believe that. But I'm thinking about it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello,
Hello.
Art.
Yes, sir.
It's Mike in Nashville, WTN.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Okay.
I watched the debate tonight. I wasted the biggest part of a good football game on the first debate. And
I understand that.
Kicked out the Discovery Channel and the Learning Channel for this one. Mm. I don't even know whether I'll do it next time. I appreciate your show not spending so much time on politics. That's all you hear on most of these other stations.
I know.
And it's good that you don't. Having said that, I will say this. I think Bob Dole is out of his element when he's out representing the Republican Party as the nominee. When he was in the Senate and was leader of the Senate and all, he had a lot of people that pledged allegiance to him, and whatever his opinion or whatever statement he made and everything was, came across with a great deal of homage and respect, and he probably thought that if he said it, it was so. And that's pretty much the way he is campaigned. You know, he just makes a statement with no charisma about it, no conviction, no aura of self-confidence, without even a plan. He seems to just say, well, you know, we cut taxes 15%, and everybody should accept that and run to the polls and vote for him. And it just don't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
And other thing I wanted to talk with you about, these frogs, the ozone layer.
Now, that worries me more than the elections.
Yes, and you know, SciTech, Ed Dames, when he revealed one of the in-house projects on your program,
yep.
Project Ecology, I forget what it was. I know Project Starman he wouldn't talk about.
Right.
That'll probably come on about the same time that Hoagland's got some things to say.
It does resonate, doesn't it, with what Ed Dames was saying?
That's exactly right. You know, he said there would be a shortage of frogs. Frogs would start to disappear. Well, if these frogs are mutating and all that, they might not be able to reproduce. And, you know, this might be the beginning stages of that. He also said that the climate would change. Numerous viruses would develop that we would have a real hard time with, new
yes.
viruses.
Yes.
And that there would be a great number or a great increase in the death of babies. And I don't know whether these were supposed to come in the order that he presented them on the radio or not, but it was the frogs first, the baby second, the ozone being latticed across the middle latitudes of the planet. Just one big hole.
Not to forget the jet stream.
And the jet stream, right, buckling up and coming down close to the deck.
Mm-hmm.
This might be the beginning of his forecast, which if and this is not really a forecast with him. This is stuff he's seen. So, you know, I don't guess a forecast is a prophecy is the right term.
No, prophecy is not the right term.
And then that just will make, when he does reveal, after he finishes the project with Project Starman, come across with a lot more credence if these things come to pass.
Well, I'm also holding on to the very detailed report on Flight 800, but Ed Dames is a sobering character.
Boy, I'll tell you.
I appreciate your call, sir.
All righty.
Thank you. Ed Dames is a very, very sobering character. And I guess we ought to have him on again soon. All this environmental information, what do you think about it? Frog stories? The ozone? All the rest of it? Baloney? Or are you beginning to get a sort of a worried little nagging feeling that there might be something to it? I'm curious. Back to it we go. Let's see. Where to go is the question. Let's go here. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
I am calling about the frogs, and I have to admit I was about ready to fall asleep, but then something...
All right, turn your radio off for us, please.
Oh, that's, I'm sorry.
Number one. Always number one.
And then I remembered something that my dad had told me about. Now, they live back in northern Indiana, and if there's ever an expert on fishing, it's my dad.
Uh-huh.
And he was telling me that the fish they've been getting this year has a lump on them, I think primarily behind the dorsal fin.
Yes, I've been hearing that.
Yeah, so that made me say the frogs made me think about the fish, so it's not just the frogs. And the only thing, I don't know just what's causing it either, and he didn't has never ventured any guess on that either, but some years ago they were all concerned back in that area about the acid rain.
Well,
and I don't know whether that's a coincidence or a factor.
I haven't heard much about acid rain lately, but you are correct. I remember the concern about it, but it was mainly for deforestation, and they were I believe noting less foliage toward the top of mountains in more exposed areas where there was a lot of acid rain. But I don't think anybody had related it to animal species problems.
Oh, no, but it could have gotten into the food chain.
Mm-hmm. It could have. That could be it. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I've got this horrid feeling.
I think it is something of concern.
Yeah, well, so do I. Did you hear the AP story I read?
Yes, I did.
I don't see how anybody can reasonably ignore that.
No, I don't either. I don't know why they're not doing a lot of research.
I thank you for the call. You know, here is where I differ with a lot of conservatives. Conservatives tend to, for ideological reasons, say this kind of thing is baloney. And I'm not one of those. I think something is going on. I have always thought the ozone business was real. Let me read this to you, okay? You should hear it. It's the Associated Press. Dateline, Henderson, Minnesota. Bruce Nelson was catching frogs for catfish bait last year when he realized something was horribly wrong. Some of the frogs had stumps for legs. Others had as many as four tangled hind legs. He said, quote, "You see deformed things all the time in nature, but nothing like this," end quote. All across Minnesota, into neighboring Wisconsin, South Dakota, even as far away as Quebec and Vermont, scientists and locals are seeing the same kind of grotesquely misshapen limbs, along with frogs with tails, missing or shrunken eyes, and smaller sex organs. As a matter of fact, scientists have a hard time finding wetlands in Minnesota with no deformed frogs. Judy Helgen, that's H-E-L-G-E-N, a research scientist with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, said, quote, "It scares me. I'm at different levels of getting a chill down my spine," end quote. That is a researcher. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Art Bell?
Art Bell, yes.
And I got through right away.
What there you are.
Happen? I'm Peggy from West Seattle.
Yes, Peggy.
And I'd like to comment on the debates tonight. And
right.
It's more on the demeanor. Al Gore came across to me like a third grade teacher talking condescendingly to her students.
Well, then I would say his debate opponent came more across like a third grade student listening to his teacher.
Well, now he could have come back pitching, but this is my whole feeling about the liberal group, is that they're telling me what I should be doing, and that they know what's best for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught for many years, and I saw this type of thing come into the teaching philosophy, that the professionals knew what was best for us. It even came across one time in a comment that, oh, well, we know better than the parents do
mm-hmm.
what's good for their children. And that really curled me, because I was both sides of the desk, both a teacher and a parent. And the parents are the primary teachers. And the whole philosophy now is, we'll take care of you. We'll give you everything that you need. And you don't have to do a single thing.
Well,
has
it occurred to you that we have become a nation of people who want to hear that?
Oh, yes, definitely. A nation, even the old biblical saying, a nation gets the leaders that they deserve.
That's right.
And that's why I'm so fearful. I'm going to vote straight Republican down the line
mm-hmm.
just to try to hope and pray that we can turn this socialism around, because it's not Democrat anymore. It's socialist Democrats.
Well, your vote with respect to Congress may do some good. I'm not sure your vote for president is going to make a lot of difference.
Well, they got to get the message. And it's not just old people like myself. I have two young adults in my house, and they even see through it.
Well, then there's hope.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. There's hope. If the young people, or at least some of them do, then there is hope. But I'm afraid that we are a receptive audience for the hollow promises of those who would give us what we are seen to want. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Hey, yes.
Listen, are you going to be on the Dish in the near future?
Well, it looks that way. I don't want to make a promise that, doesn't, I'm no Bill Clinton. So I don't want to promise you something that I can't keep, but negotiations are going very well, and it does look as though that will happen.
Okay. Yeah, I'm out here in Palm Desert, and K-News has dropped you for, as you know, the music.
Well, they dropped everything. They dropped talk and went to music, yeah.
Right.
We are aware of that, but of course we're still on the AM station there.
Yeah, it fades very much,
mm-hmm.
even though I've got the San Jean, and I still have a real hard time picking you up.
Ah.
But,
you might try. I would think Las Vegas would pound in there.
Yeah, you should pick you up there before then.
But I know if you're used to the clarity of FM, and you've got to go back to AM now, and with selective fading at that, why, it's not a happy situation.
You've got that right. Did you happen to hear Pat Cho tonight?
No.
Very impressive.
Really?
Yes, very impressive.
What impressed you?
I would say the man is probably would be an extremely good debater. He has his facts down. I mean, just hands down, facts down.
Hands down, facts down. Huh?
That's it.
Well, I heard Pat Choate many times with Chuck Harder.
Yeah. Well, I think that would be part of his downfall, actually.
Well, I never quite bought into this fear-based business about trade. I was never a real part of that movement, and I'm still not. But he is an interesting, informed, articulate individual. Thank you very much for the call. even if I don't happen to agree with him. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art. This is Jeff from Smyrna, Tennessee.
Yes, Jeff.
And I'd heard somebody call in earlier and said something about you being rude on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes you have to be rude with some people, and that's usually the way it has to go because some people need to be treated that way. But I've called you about three or four times, and the only thing I find bad about any rudeness would you, like, I hear you say, you know, thanks for calling or whatever, and you always hang up on me. And
Well, that's
I never call unless I have something intelligent to add to the program, and that's
the nature of talk radio, sir. I mean, all of talk radio is like that. The call goes along for a while, and then at some point you break off and go to another call.
Well, it's just I noticed you usually say thanks for calling, and
well, I hope people don't regard that as rude. I don't know what else to say.
But you know, like I said, when I'd called, I just had something else to say, and then I got disconnected, and that was just.
Well, what is it you want to say? Go ahead.
Well, I had already called back and said what I wanted to say at the time.
So you did get to say it.
But later, when I finally got through again. But that's all I wanted to say was I just.
Okay, well then, thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks.
I don't know how else to say it. Thanks for calling. Have a nice day. That's pretty standard old stuff, huh? Thanks for calling is, I guess, a good way of ending a conversation, or hopefully a fairly polite way. Look, it becomes a judgment call for the talk host. The audience is the ultimate judge by way of ratings of what is interesting and what is not interesting. So in any given conversation, some go long, some go short. Some, which are productive, go longer. If they're not productive, they're shorter. That's just the way it is. And I try to be polite with people. Thank you for calling. It seems like a fairly decent way of exiting a conversation. If there's something better, let me know. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Kurt from San Diego.
Hi, Kurt.
I think a lot of times when you hang up on us, it's like because of the 7-second delay or whatever. You probably do say thanks for the call, but we only hear you cut us off.
That may be.
Yeah.
And one way to know about that is to, after you've been cut off very quickly, turn up your radio.
Right.
And then you'll hear the end of that call if you're fast.
Exactly. Be interesting to think what Reagan would think about Dole and Clinton right now.
Well, I think that he would probably abide by his own 11th commandment and not have anything bad to say. If I know Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I don't think he'd agree with the 15% tax cut, though.
Well, I don't know about that. He was a proponent of tax cuts, more money in the pocket of the people, ultimately meaning more money in the pocket of the government. But a tax cut right now is a pretty tough sell. And even though it may be a good idea and might produce more revenue for the government, Bob Dole has certainly not articulated how he would pay for it. The president has said it'll knock a big hole in the deficit. The president has not properly answered that. This has been not a competent campaign.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. Thank you for the call. I think you called me. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Art Bell?
Good guess.
Yes, sir. I'm calling from Alaska.
All the
way up. And we were talking, and my roommate and I, about the frog thing.
Right.
We Alaskans, we have wild wood frogs, and each autumn they hide and they freeze. When spring comes, they defrost and hop away.
I wish I could do that.
It's like... the animals and the plants of the earth are trying to get back and do what man has done to them. So That's my feeling of the subject.
So it's a revenge?
The animals and the plants are fighting.
It's the revenge of the frogs.
No, not the revenge of frogs. No, 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 no.
The revenge of Mother Nature.
They're fighting back. The earth is fighting back.
Yep, that'd be the revenge of Mother Nature, or your maker, depending on what you want to believe. Thank you for the call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Art, I was calling about the frogs. This is Darren, listening to WTN in Nashville. I guess I'm the 10th caller to call from WTN.
Darren, we got to hop right along here. Cause...
All right. I heard that frogs were absorbing the water through their skin because of them being amphibian and then perhaps absorbing chemicals, what would make them deform the way they were. I think I heard that on CNN somewhere.
Well, that's probably right, but that's telling us something, isn't it?
The water and pollutants that we're putting in the water, we really need to look at our environment and start taking care of it because we only get one.
I'm with you, brother. We got to live here. Listen, show's over. You get the honors. Do it.
Good night, America.
That's how it's done. And Canada as well. From the high deserts, good night to all of you. See you tomorrow.